gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That orange douche nozzle asshat John Boner, that big lying sack of, God's sake.
He was so orange last night.
Liar! Stinky, nasty sack of liquid crap. What? He's even Chris Matthews. Oh, it's a lie! What Boehner just lied? What's that about?
He also said...
It is not a bipartisan plan that passed.
Right.
They had five Democrats for their stupid cap and crap, whatever that thing is.
Well, Chris Matthews also said
he just
that
went, what did Joan Walsh call it? He just went all Tea Party crazy last night. It was like, what?
Yeah.
He was like this close to a deal with the president. Now he's like, oh, I don't even know that we have a plan. The president needs president. And he was particularly orange. You're correct.
He was really orange. That was disturbing. It's like he has a disease.
I swear
or
to
something.
God, somebody has the same sense of humor we do, and it's like a French fry light. Somebody puts an orange gel, I think, just to make it funnier. Okay.
Well, Chris Matthews also said that President Obama probably shouldn't have done that last night.
Done what?
Just spoke to the nation during primetime.
Why? I thought it was great.
I'm just telling you what Chris Matthews said.
The Bender and I were in my bed, as we normally are.
Oh.
David Bender, my house husband.
Oh.
Watching, and he started expressing, and I'm like, can you hold that thought? I have to call my accountant, and I literally, it's like, hold please. I need to find out if I should refinance. I have a floaty mortgage thing, yeah.
Oh, Stephanie.
Mm, yeah.
You should probably lock that down while the rates are low.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably should have done that.
Oh, dear. Uh-huh. Okay.
Your dream may come true. You may get my house. You may be able to move out of the van down by the river that you live in because of the pittance that I pay you. Hey, look who's here!
What? Aisha Tyler, actress, author,
she has a look on her face.
Uh-oh.
So today's Tuesday. It gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler.
Good morning, sexy liberal Aisha Tyler.
I'm so tired.
Sleepy now?
You were at Comic-Con all weekend.
I was at Comic-Con all weekend, and my podcast went live last night at 2:34 in the morning.
Yay,
are you sure?
Still here,
yeah.
And she still loves
and I'm
us.
Still here, and I'm only moderately tardy. so tired. And I showered, which I usually don't manage.
Oh, thanks for that.
Yeah, mainly because I
didn't
want to...
Because we can normally tell you're coming.
I didn't want to punish you with my presence to be like, oh, here she is.
Oof, yikes.
Yeah, it's like little wiggly lines are coming up.
Comic-Con stinky lines.
Comic-Con stinky lines, yeah.
Shall we turn the camera on you yet, or would you like to...
No, I'll put some makeup on.
Okay.
That's not fair.
What?
Save
She's
me.
Like supermodel gorgeous. I'm like, no, wait a second, let me...
You're an angel in human form.
Sure I am. Sure I am.
I got up this morning and I was like, I could literally puke a little blood right now. That's how tired I am. I'm so tired.
Welcome
it's
to
like
my world.
It's like college only without all this sex.
Without all the sex and fun.
Exactly. Yeah. All the drinking
and the jello
sex.
Shots.
Just the sleepiness. Just the go to bed at 2:30, wake up.
Okay. Sexy liberal, Tyler, we're so excited that you're joining the Sexy Liberal Tour.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
Santa Fe,
so excited.
August 6th. And
that
then
very soon.
Detroit, August 20th. Wait, don't say anything I told you on the... Okay, so here's what a big geek I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Aisha yesterday, left her a message because I was excited about who's coming to the Detroit show.
Right.
But we can't say.
No, we can't at all.
No, because then they'll be scared off.
Don't even use
pronouns.
There's a term in the business for what Stephanie's doing right now. It's called being teased.
Yeah. And geeking out.
Something else is happening. I can't tell you.
Seriously was like in high school. Oh my God, Aisha.
You won't.
Sorry.
I mean, I know I told you, but don't tell anybody else.
Okay, that's
a secret for you, but not for me.
Call me back. Okay, and she did. She called me back.
I did call you back.
And she left me a message, too.
I left you a message. I was like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Right. That's a little ways away towards the 20th. So
August 20th.
Time to
yeah.
Be
yeah,
prepared.
And we, because the right wing tends to, with the sexy liberal show so much, and try to, like, hack our Facebook and Twitter. And
except for none of them have any computer skills.
Right, and they're scalping tickets for, like, $500 a piece, whatever. So we thought, oh, this isn't real.
They're scalping tickets for $500
a piece? This is Fernburn's person.
Yeah.
We need... Tickets for an entourage. We're like, oh, please.
Right.
And it turned out to be true.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let the cat out.
You're going to die.
It's Glenn Beck. He's coming.
Stop it.
And we're going to do some sketches together on stage.
Some
skittles and some bits.
Oh, no. Aisha and I already have. We have in mind, you know.
We have lots of stuff in mind. I'm just going to apologize now for everything that comes out of my mouth between now and the end.
Okay,
I am so tired.
Bless your heart.
You know, and I let me just complain. I wish you, do you have some violin soundtrack?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Sad hobo.
So, it's my sad hobo violin. So, Comic-Con is awesome and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people complain about it.
I embrace your geekdom, and that's why I called you about my geek out yesterday.
Right? Yes. Yeah. But what's great is you get to see fans actually enjoying what you do. Usually we never get that. We speak into the air.
Right.
You send the show off. You don't hear. So that's really great.
I talk for 3 hours in a little padded room to myself.
Alone.
And that's perfect.
We could be doing this in my bathroom.
Sure.
We have no idea what's happening
no,
up there.
No.
But when you go to the, you see the fans, and that's great. However, it's going to bed at 2:30, getting up at 6:30 every day for 4 days.
Yes.
Stumbling around San Diego, which looks very much like downtown New Delhi at this time. It's like,
is she whining with the sad hobo music to our life every day in which we go to bed
at stupid o'clock
and get up at
insane o'clock
every day? And then I do the national comedy
at sleepy o'clock, which is like, the other day I was like, Stephanie, when do you go to bed? She's like, like 7 p.m. or something.
Yes.
Go to bed. Like,
yeah.
I wish
insane.
I could
7:30.
Stupid o'clock.
I could never do radio on a regular basis.
Yeah.
morning radio.
No, not morning radio.
You could do nighttime radio.
I could do
Here's a fun fact.
Like 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Here's a not-so-fun fact about me. I'm become like kind of a medical specimen at this point. I've had three different doctors tell me, if you want to survive at all mentally, physically, emotionally, you must stop doing this comedy tour. You can't do that. No one can do that on top of the morning drive.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can't. We have sold out shows all the way through the fall, so that's not a...
sleep for breakfast.
I'm a cautionary tale. This will kill me.
Okay.
And then in the future, there will be discussions, and people will go, well, you can't do that because you remember it killed.
You're talking Aisha out of it. Stop it.
She's not doing a morning drive show every day.
I don't do the show every day. I only do it one day a week, and it's killing me. It's breaking me in half. You're going to see me panhandling. I'm going to have grown a beard. Okay, that's how badly this is making me feel.
Really turn into a sad hobo.
Yes, I will. I will be
a tin
cup and a hot dog on a stick.
You know what it's all going to be worthwhile is when you get to meet in Detroit.
When I get to meet Glenn Beck in Detroit.
Yes.
And he comes out in a skirt and we do some skits and biddles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to jump ahead? Would you like a preview to Right Wing World and what Glenn Beck said, just since you mentioned
He's a poop face.
Oh, no. Oh, but wait.
I think we can all agree.
The Norway shooting.
Across the... I heard that one. Mm. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
And as the thing started to unfold, and then there was a shooting at a political camp, which sounds a little like, you know, the Hitler Youth or whatever. I mean, who does a camp for kids that's all about politics?
Oh, yeah. Because kids don't need to
disturbing.
Know stuff or learn.
Yeah. So they obviously had it coming. Because
He's such a douchebag.
Wasn't there, like, Young United Nations and that sort of thing?
There's all kinds of political camps.
There's
actually, I'm trying to think of the big one, and if I was a person today, I would know it. I'll get out my iPad. The internet makes everybody smart.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in school, there's, like, a whole, like, student, like, government thing where you study, and you, like, do, like, you know, fake voting for who's going to be the president.
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on, you big...
And also these Jesus camps on the other side.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Well, that sounds a little crazy. What are you?
Where
you kids to a camp where you learn about Jesus.
Where you learn to worship cardboard cutouts of George W.
Bush. Where kids pray during the day and then take their pants off at night.
Those things really are Republican camps.
They're creating.
My friend's daughter just went to a law camp. They do mock trials and they get to learn. I'll tell you something.
Camp is about having sex.
Really? Well, if I didn't look like an Armenian man when I was a kid,
even if it's not like full on sex, even if it's just like, you know, stealing underwear or strange groping.
I got nothing at Camp Tegawitha.
Oh,
damn it.
Tegawitha?
Tegawitha. Camp Tegawitha.
That's because you look like an Armenian
dude. And also Camp Moss Lake. Didn't score at either one of them.
It's a supportive environment, and here it is. That's because you look like a man. Love you, mean it.
You're an 11-year-old girl that looks like an Armenian man. I'm sorry. Go shave your unibrow in your own tent by yourself. All right. Aisha Tyler, wait a minute. You were just saying before Aisha got in, why would Chris Matthews, the president shouldn't have done that?
Yeah.
I thought he was awesome last night.
Chris said that it kind of made him look a little bit weak.
Well, here's
what?
The thing. This is like... a swinging blank competition right now.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
At the same time, I don't know. I don't necessarily disagree. I don't necessarily agree that it makes him look weak. I think he looks reasonable. I think he looks like a reasonable person who's saying, look, we're all adults here. We have to get this job done. I really think that these guys are playing a game of chicken and the Republicans don't care if they wreck the car.
Right.
I think they do not care if they crash the American economy. I think they're going to try to pin it on the president. It's so reckless. It's so destructive and thoughtless. And they also
smell
like farts.
And the boner just lied. There's not a bipartisan. It's like that's the problem. And it's
there's nothing.
He just went, like as I said, like Tea Party crazy last night.
And
it was like,
is,
what?
It
no,
may
I
already
never.
Be too late. Like they're just completely recalcitrant. Yeah. They may have already blown it.
Have we already? We've already been downgraded.
No,
one,
they said no. That, but they say that even if they raise the debt ceiling, it is highly likely. It used to be possible. Yeah. Now it's probable we're going to lose our.
And it's not just Moody's anymore. It's all.
Standard and Poor's also said the same thing.
We will talk to actually the bald-headed prophet of doom, perfect guest for today, Allie
Belshi. Belshi.
Oh, I love him. His head is shaped like a big bowling ball of joy. A bowling ball of money and joy, full of money.
Well,
your head is full of money, Allie. We can't wait to talk to you.
And candy and prizes.
Sexy best.
Candy and prizes and money.
Yes, we will pinata full of money.
We will dig into that big pinata of a financial brain in just a few minutes. He will be coming up at the bottom of the hour.
It's a good thing he has a sense of humor about his head.
I said it was handsome.
Joy.
It's very handsome, big ball full of money.
Oh, he's handsome and romantic like Max.
Oh, God.
I doubt
that.
Your dog.
I'm going to do the whole interview like that just to see if he notices.
Do you talk to your dogs like that?
Yes, she does.
This is why you didn't get made out with at camp.
Oh, man.
You're handsome and sexy, and your breath smells like bones. And a little bit like balls.
No, I really do. I if it's possible to give your dogs too much positive encouragement, that's what I do. I was on a hike yesterday, and Max, I was way ahead of Max, but he saw me, and he knew to cut through the woods mm-hmm. there to get to me. And I'm like, oh, you're such a smart, handsome man. And you could tell he was.
Where was TMZ when you needed it?
Yeah.
He's so smart, handsome, and romantic and athletic. Wow.
Okay. You do realize that's just a little weird.
It's when you're a crazy dog lady.
It's when you get to the romantic part that it starts to be a problem for the rest of us. You do know you can get diseases from that.
I think I'm starting to scratch behind my ear.
Oh, my
all right.
Gosh.
Oh, I'll just spritz a little cedar side on.
Oh, good. Yay.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. We're off to a deeply weird Tuesdays with Tyler, as it normally
it
is.
Already strange.
But today she's already pooing blood.
I am pooing blood. Well, I thought barfing blood. Went to pooing blood. I'll go with anything. I'm too tired to fight you. I'm too tired to fight back.
Yay! Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise.
Stephanie Miller. In the house, jump, jump, rejoice
to the party over there. Oh my party God. Over there. Yeah.
Get the dairy, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is the Stephanie Miller Show, party people. Party over here. Party
oh my
there.
God. All anything right. to stay away.
All right.
Yeah, only up-tempo little, songs for you today.
Aisha Tyler, a little bit of lame chair dancing.
I will back my little nub of a butt up.
We've not turned on Ustream yet because we were hoping that someone could just come in with that big powder puff of makeup and makeup.
Save me from myself. I was saying, do you remember that card? Do you remember that cartoon with Spike? It was Spike and Tyke.
Spike and Tyke.
We figured that out last time I was in. Well, one of the one times I was in.
Yes.
Then Spike was trying to hide. No, it was a kitten. He had a kitten. The big dog had a little kitty. And then the
you are
kitten.
Nearly dead. You were so tired.
I'm delirious.
You are not even.
And then the little kitty was a powder puff. It was so cute. Okay,
listen, an attorney wouldn't even let you sign anything now. You're not even making it. Here, sign this. Give everything to me.
A moving vehicle. So if you see a black girl picking her nose in a hybrid car, just run. Just go the other way.
Lisa and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lise.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey. I just wanted to tell you, I just this morning it dawned on me where my daughter gets the way she talks to our dogs. It must be from you.
No.
It has to be from you. Yes, it is.
What's your dog's name?
Roger.
Oh, Roger. You're so handsome. Did she say that?
I am going to try to do it like she does.
Okay.
Oh, Roger, you're a sexy beast.
Oh dear.
See, that's even a little.
It's a little inappropriate.
Okay, yeah, Lisa, she's jumped the shark. Even I haven't gone to sexy. Yeah.
Well, romantic.
Yeah. Close enough.
I think romantic is a little bit more.
I'm a gateway drug for the kids. Thank you, Lisa. All
right. Wow. Oh my God. All right. That's hilarious.
I didn't do that. No. I didn't start here.
Don't try to qualify your crazy.
He's romantic, though.
Romantic. Does he bring you flowers?
Yes.
Look at what I found.
Well, they get caught in his fur.
Look at
when
what
he comes
I've
out
made
of the,
you, Mom. Yeah. You're a big poo-poo. All by myself.
Dan in Minneapolis. Hello, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to point out the irony here. Glenn Beck himself, as part of his 9/12 project, held a youth camp.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jacques.
Et voilà.
Ça bleu.
En garde.
Creme brulee. What? I don't know. I'm just yelling out for him.
En garde. Bitch.
Yeah.
Wow, she was angry.
Yeah.
My mother, my mother, when she was a little girl, her and her brother didn't know French, so they would always go, en garde. Je n'aime pas mon dit. No words of French at all.
Little yeah. Pepe Le Pew. Yeah, they learned. Exactly. They went to the Pepe Le Pew school.
I think it's the
Gaelic pronunciation. Yeah, I listen. Everybody sounds like an idiot when they talk to their dogs. Yeah, my friend true. Rob. This is him talking to lady. Beautiful. Oh, you're so beautiful, lady. I'm just saying, everybody sounds like
your friend is not Filipino. That is really.
Is he
Filipino?
No.
Okay, then it's very upsetting.
All right.
Filipino, that's just normal. Beautiful papi do.
And then he does it to me, and that's how I sleep. Shh, shh, you're so beautiful.
That's better than Ambien.
Don't do anything sleepy oriented around.
Yeah, and you know what's kind of ironic? And then I fall asleep in his lap, so it seems to be the proximity to a penis that makes me. His penis is made of Lunesta.
Are we going to spend that time with? Are we going to spend more time with that?
I don't know. It makes me sleep, which
Lunesta
is ironic. Being a big
Lunesta
gay.
Blue blessed in the penis. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Maybe
all
my
right.
sleepiness is rubbing off on Stephanie.
Yeah, could
my
be.
My delirium.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. Let you know I got tickets for Detroit.
You got tickets for Detroit?
What?
Oh, you're going to be there with
him. I know. And Aisha, it's powerful hot out here. So you might want to wear that kind of frisky lightweight number I've seen.
Oh, yes, the frisky
lightweight. Yes, the see-through dress, yeah.
You know, I heard that.
You know what, buddy? You are like a straight Marcus Bachman. You are so concerned about her fashion and concerned for her coolness in Detroit in August 20th.
I just hate to see the poor dear suffer.
I understand. Maybe you want to go pick her out a see-through pantsuit of some sort.
See-through pantsuit.
I can help it out. Hey, Mama.
Yes, baby.
Let's get to the bottom line of this stuff. The Republicans' hate for Obama is so palpable that they're willing to hurt the American
That's
people.
That's very true.
I mean, come on.
Obama, you know, buddy,
given the biggest poop sandwich in the world when he came into office. Mm-hmm. They've done nothing but try to take the bread away. And now that you take the bread away from a poop sandwich, you're left with a steaming pile of And then they're jumping up and down and going, look at this.
Impressive.
Look at this big pile of And it's all Obama's fault. But
you're making
inherited a surplus from Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And then they pissed it away.
You know, buddy,
and
I know.
Blaming Obama.
Right. Those of us on the left often get accused of playing the race card, but let me play the race card. All I'm saying is, in all of these situations, I just go, why is this the first time in history?
Right.
Why do they hate him so much that it doesn't even seem rational?
Right.
I mean, I'm not even saying it's just that. It's just, this is a breed.
They don't know why they feel this way. That's the thing. I mean, something that's this buried and this latent, a lot of them, they don't even know why they feel so virulent. You know,
it's
confusing. Hate is a confusing thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. The president.
Why do
the American people may have voted for divided government, but they didn't vote for a dysfunctional government. So I'm asking you all to make your voice heard. If you want a balanced approach to reducing the deficit, let your member of Congress know.
So the servers crashed last night, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to tell, but, you know, if you look at the polling, Aisha, I assume it's because people feel like we do and like the president just, you know, talked about. If you are for sanity, call now.
Like, this is crazy, right? Like, this is not funny. This is not a joke. This is not, like, a parlor game.
Yeah.
This is going to affect each and every American for generations. And I think that Mr. See-Through Pants, who just called, made a point that I was thinking a lot about this morning, last night, when I was looking at the news, which is that the previous administration came in with a massive surplus, and they didn't just piss it away. They, like, pushed it out of the door, you know, as fast as they could get it. They got rid of the surplus, and then they overspent immensely, and now these guys want to hold this president hostage.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you've got to take responsibility for what your side has done. We all have to figure this out together, is my point.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to, delve into the giant, just handsome pinata that is Ali Velshi's brain.
The pinata of doom?
The pinata of doom, and
money
candy
and
in there.
And caramels.
with crunchy nougat. We will talk to Ali Velshi next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The very word conjures up images of red light districts, unprotected sex, and of course, the turn of the century pornograph machine.
On which you played your pornograph records.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tuesdays with Tyler continues apace. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, we were discussing before the... Oh, by the way, we can't find Ali Velshi now. He probably heard that I called his head full of crunchy nougat, mm-hmm. And now he's mad.
It was a sexy head full of crunchy money nougat.
Exactly. Perhaps his people heard that and they'll find him.
Money,
all right,
sexy
so we'll,
money nougat.
We're tracking him down. Yeah, we were saying during the break, though, this is why we can't have nice things, America. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
see?
This is why, because...
Republicans broke it.
They're breaking it. They really did. They are bouncing the ball inside the House.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they're blaming the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're gluing the vase back together, and
yes.
Mom's putting the flowers in it,
listen,
and it leaks all
give
over
me
the
my,
table.
Over the giving,
house
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
That's right.
Give me my nostalgia music again.
Okay.
I will tell the story once again, because I'm that woman. Mama, we've heard
I love a well-burned story. They get polished over time.
Brother in the vase. No, it's the same. I don't embellish it at all.
Okay,
it's just my right-wing brother, when we were kids, he used to... it was a game for him. For me, it was, survival.
Yes.
He would yell, butt kiss. Which is the feared tackler in the 70s, the Dick Butkus, the football player.
Yeah.
And that would be my cue to run for my life, which I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would tackle me frequently into something. And in this case, my mother's Ming vase.
Oh,
which
no.
Then, or I don't even know if it was a Ming vase. I just made that up because it sounded 70s.
So
it was some
happened.
Sort of...
The Republicans are tackling Obama
then,
into the Ming vase.
But wait, yes. And then my brother looked at me. There's that pause when you break something. And then he goes, Mom's going to kill you.
Oh,
see what I'm
gosh.
Saying?
That's exactly
sorry,
what's
like,
happening.
Look what you did. Oh,
look
my God, Mom
did.
Is going to kill you.
Yes. Like someone kicks you and then they break their toe.
That's right.
Look what you did to my toe. I'll tell you what I did to your toe, you dummy.
You jackass.
Yeah. Butt face.
All right.
When we're more awake, we'll come up with some more politically...
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell is going on at this point. Top lawmakers rolled out dueling debt plans on Monday that offered little prospect for compromise, increasing the threat of a ratings downgrade and national default.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! This is why we can't have nice things.
Thank God I've got my the money and corn stockpiled.
I have an actual corn. Is that bad?
Just one corn? Not gonna help.
In a silo out back. Is that wrong?
On your compound.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. With the crow's nest.
Mm-hmm. The stalemate rattled investors worldwide, sending stocks and the dollar down, pushing gold to a record high. Oh, time to go to ITM Trading and type Stephanie in the box. Fall short of the panicky sell-off, as some had predicted, however. So House Republicans unveiled, is this, I can't even keep track, is the cut crap and whatever, which he was saying is the bipartisan plan, which meant five Democrats or something voted for it and has no chance of passing.
No,
right.
No, absolutely no chance of passing either
yes.
side of Congress.
Yes. They unveil a two-stage deficit reduction plan that would start with an initial $1.2 trillion in savings over 10 years. Is sure to be rejected by Obama, because he is absolutely right. It raises the debt limit for only a few months, putting it right in the middle of the political campaign.
Which is
and
their intention.
Not reassuring, world investors or ensuring interest rates and all
none
that.
None of the markets said there's going to be any stability here. I mean, the
right.
thing about the markets need stability. And we are the last stable, robust economy in the world. And for them to be like saying, well, we're going to just have this conversation again in 6 months. That doesn't, that's it. That the downgrade is inevitable if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, just one example of what they think of us around the world. A top British finance minister said the world's biggest economic threat is from right-wing nutters in Congress who would send the U.S. government into default. Who is it?
I love that British term.
Is it Nicholas Kristof or somebody in the Times this past week talked about if another country attacked us like this, we would send troops in.
Yeah.
I mean, if they attacked our full faith and credit.
And decimated our
economy.
Yeah.
And
we're holding our economy hostage in a completely reckless and just like cavalier way.
He said the irony of the situation at the moment with markets opening Monday morning is that the biggest threat to the world financial system comes right from a few right-wing nutters in the American Congress rather than the Eurozone.
Mm-hmm.
At least people around the world are like, what?
These guys are completely unreasonable. I mean,
what is this Tea Party?
They hijacked the country.
Yeah. Obama's Democrats formally presented their competing plan for $2.7 trillion deficit reduction over the next decade with a debt limit increase that would carry through the November 2012 elections. Boehner dismissed the Democratic plan as full of gimmicks.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a gimmick, meaning we're not going to put this right in a few months. Where this
we're
isn't
not going
to
make a play for the election. We actually have to solve this problem till after the next election so people can focus on what really matters.
Yes. Harry Reid exists in extremists within the Republican Party must not be allowed to dictate the outcome of the debt and deficit debate, although they already are. President last night.
A significant number of Republicans in Congress are insisting on a different approach, a cuts-only approach, an approach that doesn't ask the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to contribute anything at all.
Yeah. Here's something I thought was interesting. I was born in this year. Corporations and the rich paid taxes at the same level as the 1960s. The debt would disappear, period. If corporations and households making more than $1 million paid the same rates they did in 1961, our debt would virtually disappear in a decade.
Wow.
The richest Americans paying their lowest taxes in a generation. The U.S. is actually very low tax compared with other developed countries.
And compared with almost every Western developed
absolutely.
Country.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this
we have lowest taxes and we also provide the fewest benefits.
Services, yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
See, we can have nice things.
We're
part 17,000.
We're like the Walmart of the West. Come work for us and maybe if you go to the emergency room, they'll cover your Band-Aids.
Stephanie Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. You know, I agree with Buddy, not on the see-through pantsuit, but, you know, a lot of this, you know, has to do with because the president's black. I mean, it's so hateful. I'm so choked up. I could hardly even talk to Becca. And I don't know why I'm so verklempt about this, but I about had it. You know, there are some right-wing wackos out there that, you know, they're just insane. They're these Tea Partiers, and there's no way to talk to them straight. But there's a whole bunch of others that just want to see him fail.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I don't know if you've heard this, but the other thing is a lot of Republicans are already talking openly about impeaching him. If we hit default, there's the vase again. Now look what you did.
Exactly.
Now we have to impeach you.
My God.
It's insane. You know, and I'm ticked off about my left friends. You know, some of them, they're like, oh, he's caving too much and doing this and doing that. And he hasn't done a whole lot of harm. This president's done a lot for us. And I'm so sick of people not standing up and doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Steph. I appreciate it.
It's
agree.
It's really interesting because I think we talked about this like a bunch on the show,
right.
And they're more hell bent on being right than they are on doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So in this particular case, the president who's saying, "Look, we've got to figure this out. We've got to be adults here." That somehow that's seen as wishy washy or soft.
Yeah.
That here's a person who's like, and that's an American attitude that like if we don't do it my way, I'm gonna blow this whole joint up.
The Republicans are like, we're not gonna eat our peas, and we're also gonna light the kitchen table on fire. How's
exactly.
That?
And we're gonna push the whole table. This is bull, baby.
This is bull.
Yeah.
All right.
Just like that.
Look who we found. It's Ali Velshi. Prophet of Doom. Oh,
hello,
God.
Hello, everybody.
What a morning for Doom.
Allie, tell us what to do.
Allie, help us.
That's what I say when I'm watching you on Saturdays when I watch you. I go, please, Allie, tell me what to do.
No, I have an answer for you.
Okay.
I have the solution.
Okay.
Go to Canada.
Allie Velshi.
Oh, my God.
Not helping.
I spent 7 months in Toronto. We were just talking on the break about how lovely Canada is.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, we should change the name of your show to Allie Velshi is not helping.
Allie Velshi is happily Canadian.
Let me tell you, we have two, and I heard you guys talking about this, I was a couple of minutes calling in late because we're just dealing with this here at CNN trying to figure out.
Because we're having a worldwide financial catastrophe and something's more important than me, Allie?
No, I wanted to be fully informed. I wanted to know everything before I got on here. And I'll just tell you, we have two issues, right? We've got the debt ceiling, which is the stuff we've bought and we need to pay for. I mean, this is, to me, like buying a TV and deciding you overspent on a TV 2 years ago, but you bought it on credit. And so because you spent too much, you're just not paying for that TV or a car that you're leasing.
Allie, that's what the analogy I made yesterday, except with me, it was wine because I tend to buy a lot. It would be me going, I'm not going to pay for this. I already drank it like last month.
Right.
It's gone.
Right.
Why would I pay for it now?
So that's an issue. The other side of things is whether or not we spend too much in our budget deficit. Now, the fact is these two issues, they're both important, but they're apples and shampoo. I mean, they're two different things. And trying to conflate them into one is not the most sensible terrible thing in the world. So we need to. So what's happening is one side's trying to force the issue, and they're very proud that they're forcing the issue. But where this could take us is, and Stephanie, I'm not an alarmist. This is very dangerous.
Yeah.
This is not somewhere we need to be. We cannot come close to defaulting. We've already risked our credit rating. It could go down, and that could take us a long, long time to get back. And that filters down to all of us. And, you know, people tell you it's going to make your interest rates higher. That's not the problem. The problem is it could crush our recovery and cost us jobs. That's the most important
Allie,
thing.
What are you hearing? Because I think that the conversation has really shifted from, if we don't get this right, we may be downgraded to, regardless of what we do at this point, it's probable that there's going to be some kind of a downgrade.
I'm hearing a lot of that. I'm also hearing from friends in the financial world that stock markets and bond markets right now, traders are still betting that Washington will raise this debt ceiling before August 2nd and won't default on its debt. So the bottom line is, if there's some sense that they're not going to do that, I think we're going to see a very sudden and abrupt reaction in stocks. It's going to affect your 401k. In bonds, it's going to affect how much you pay for loans. But for the moment, they're not betting on that. They're betting that they're going to see the sense and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Allie, if you were someone that was, say, dumb enough to have one of those floaty mortgages, what would you be doing right now?
I would lock in. That is, in fact, probably the biggest danger right now, and that is that if this doesn't go through and bond yields go up, that could clearly that makes it more expensive to borrow money. That'll trickle down and could cause mortgage rates to go up. Now, mortgage rates have done nothing but come down. They're at historic lows, and frankly, if your rate on an adjustable went from 4.25 to 4.75 or 5.25, it's not going to be the end of the world. But if you, I wouldn't be in a variable rate mortgage right now, an adjustable rate mortgage.
Okay, Allie, could you just wait here while I call my accountant?
And I'll be right back.
Okay, Allie, let me take a moment to say. Okay, Aisha was referring to, even if President Obama and Republicans reach a compromise on the debt ceiling, the U.S. government could still be coping with the downgrade to its top-notch AAA rating, according to Citigroup and also Bank of America and others now. They say while we see very little chance of a default in a massive U.S. sovereign downgrade, we see a better than 50% chance the deal to increase the debt ceiling is not strong enough to bring them downgrade to AA in 2011.
Yeah, look, the credit rating agencies, who, by the way, are no superstars themselves, they've gotten everything wrong for the last few years, are basically saying there's a twofold problem here. One is the fact that the U.S. would even use defaulting on the debt as a political tool, number one, and number two, they're sort of saying, look, this debt issue is a problem. Now, I have to tell you, at risk of sounding like I'm being an apologist for somebody, the number one biggest problem in the country right now is jobs. Most people think the number two problem is the prices they pay for gas and things like that. We've been hoodwinked into thinking that the debt and the deficit is the single biggest economic problem we are facing in this country. It's a problem. It's serious. It's just not bigger than jobs. I mean, I wish there was this kind of frenzy in Washington about solving the job problem. So I kind of think Republicans have done a bit of a disservice in whipping up this frenzy and hoodwinking people into thinking that this is the absolute biggest problem we're facing. We can manage this.
You know, I was looking at, Representative Todd Akin, one of these Republicans of Ohio, called President Obama the flaming socialist who's incapable of negotiating with Republicans on raising the debt ceiling. It's almost like we're living in some sort of parallel universe where, I mean, the president's base is furious. There's nothing, this negotiation so far, there's no revenues, right? There's only cuts. They've given, basically, like Harry Reid said, he gave them everything they wanted, and there's no, and yet somehow the president's still a socialist, and that's how we've gotten where we are, right?
Yeah, no, and look, if you look at where the deficit we're in and where it came from, there was more added to the deficit under the Bush administration than under the Obama administration, and that's not blame. That is simply saying we did things, including getting involved in the wars, including the tax cuts, the Bush-era tax cuts.
And the rebates, right? We took
the
that.
Rebates.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there are all sorts of things that happened there. It's a bit of a mug's game to say, to decide who's more responsible for it, but the reality is we do have to find a solution, and nobody, no thinking economists, think that the solution only lies in cuts to spending, particularly at a time when we are having trouble creating enough jobs in this country. So I think people have got to get out of their ideological caves, and this is everybody. Anybody who's in an ideological cave, on the left or the right, and needs to come and get at that table and say everything they got to say, and say it fast, because we've got to get this thing done.
How do you see this playing out, Allie?
I'm very worried. I really thought last night when we heard that there was going to be this this speech by the president that we were going to hear that they were closer to a deal, and then you have that the president's speech and John Boehner's speech, and you realize that wow, they're not close at all.
Right.
I financial markets tend to be pretty smart about this thing. They are saying that they'll get a deal. I'm a little less optimistic than the financial markets are. But boy, we better get a deal, Stephanie. This is not an option.
Well, that's why you're the bald-headed prophet of doom, and I wish
I'm a little doomy.
I wish I could snuggle in the bunker with you all morning.
Oh, but, anytime, Stephanie.
But you can't because you're busy.
Now that I know that you're interested in that sort of thing, just let me know when you're
ready. CNN's Ali Velshi. Thanks
you're
so much,
awesome,
Ali. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon. All right, there he goes.
Hooray. Oh, boy.
I knew I liked the Canucks. They're lovely people. They're reasonable and thoughtful people. They've never
He's
been
scared.
In any kind of... You know, that's the thing. It's like we've become this kind of hysterical, unhinged group of people.
Yeah.
Completely
unreasonable. What's your point? All right, it's 49 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. More Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Maybe not anymore when my interest rate goes up and then I have to move.
Wow, you're floaty, huh?
You're as floaty as me.
Okay, the president.
A significant number of Republicans in Congress are insisting on a different approach, a cuts-only approach. An approach that doesn't ask the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to contribute anything at all.
Yeah, so here's the analysis I'm reading this morning anyway. If Obama can weaken Boehner so much that he can't pass a bill in the House, Reid's bill has a chance in the Senate. Significantly, the current timing, very fluid, to put it mildly, is for the House to vote late on Wednesday, that's tomorrow, and the Senate to follow on Thursday. But if Boehner prevails and his method becomes a live option in the Senate and Reidsville can't overcome an expected Republican filibuster, Obama's choices will dwindle to two. Sign Boehner's bill or come up with something new on the fly.
Hmm.
That Obama didn't promise to veto Boehner's bill signals Obama may already know the sweet spot between divided government and dysfunctional government. He may not sign the Boehner bill, but the absence of a veto threat is a telltale sign that in the end, Obama may tolerate something much closer to it than Monday night's speech conveyed. I mean, it's anybody's guess at this point.
But I also think he made a choice to sound like a reasonable, mature adult who's running a massive country with the biggest and most important economy in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wish, you know, listen, this has such dire consequences for all of us as Americans.
Everyone.
I wish Boehner hadn't opted to just lie, because this is a serious debate. He, you know, for him to go, oh, there's no crisis, we passed a bipartisan, it's like, that's a bunch of bull, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we wouldn't be here if that were the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you're going to have a reasonable debate, don't just throw out a bunch of Tea Party
crap.
Yes, exactly. Pee
also,
on me and tell me it's raining.
Oh.
Precious in Detroit.
It does feel like it's raining, though.
Yes.
Hi. Yes, I just want to know if I'm the only one who's thinking that the Tea Party Republicans are being treasonous by going over a pledge that they made to Grover Norquist and the Club for Growth instead of the oath that they made when they took office.
Precious, that's exactly right. Who's Grover Norquist? Who elected him?
Exactly.
What kind of idiot signs a pledge? I mean, you know, in these fast-moving economic and financial times, right?
Exactly, exactly. I just want to know that I'm not alone. Thank
you. Yes, you are not alone. You are
not alone.
I mean, we're all screwed, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, we're all screwed together.
Yeah.
And that's the magical thing about all of it, isn't it?
And I mean, it is the thing of, like, being in a burning boat.
Yeah. Well, it's what I've learned in my life. It's somewhere when, you know, God shuts a door, he shuts a window, too, and you're screwed.
Shut the door, shut the window, and then the Republicans set your house on fire and then blame you.
Mm-hmm.
But don't realize they've also set themselves on fire because they're inside the house. We're going to take this little metaphor all the way to the wall.
Remember, things always look the darkest just before it goes totally black. Just remember that.
Yes, right. Yes, right before the night, right before the night.
And if you see a light, it's probably a train. Okay. All right. Are we done? Normally,
we're
done. Such a happy, clappy show.
Yeah.
I know. We can
we're
be happy,
doom and
clappy
gloom
again.
Today.
Mm. So it's only today the clappy is the kind you catch.
It's the clappy kind of clap today. Senator Harry Reid.
It appears to me at this stage the Republicans are more interested in trying to embarrass the president than doing what's right for the country.
Thank Thank you. That's what we've been talking about. This irrational sort of, you know, I mean, and I think this is the long line. They're looking for any reason to impeach him. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Steve King.
The stunning Steve King.
Yes, as Michelle Bachman would say. Mm-hmm. He tweeted last night, stop talking about default. The first dime of each dollar of revenue services of services debt, Obama would be impeached if he blocked the debt payments. So they're going, oh, another excuse to impeach the black guy, which we've been trying to do. I mean, this follows. Representative Pete Olson said that Tim Scott, other House GOPers, are exploring impeachment over the debt ceiling. Representative Trent Franks called for impeachment if the president refused to support the Defense of Marriage Act. Last year, Lamar Smith hinted at impeaching Obama if he didn't do more to stop illegal immigration. I mean, and they're just like, oh, God, we got some reasons.
I didn't elect them. Why are we electing people who don't understand the Constitution and separation of powers? Like, don't understand them at their basic fundamental level.
It wasn't written in the pledge that they signed to Globe Robert Norquist. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show.
Walking
on sunshine.
Aren't we all just right before we all fall into the abyss? All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tuesdays with Sexy Liberal Aisha Tyler continues.
Good morning.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Santa Fe, New Mexico, August 6th with John Finkelstein, Aisha Tyler,
so
and I.
Exciting.
Detroit, Saturday, August 20th. And to somebody very huge name is coming to the Detroit Show.
I don't know how long you're able to hold on in this fashion. You may just completely
explode. I can't, because then they, he, she won't come, probably, if
yes.
we say.
He, she.
We thought it was a joke.
She.
Okay, so I'm just saying, you might want to get your tickets, because there's going to be a lot of stars at the Sex Liberal Show.
Oh, a lot of stars.
In Detroit.
A lot of stars.
Uh-huh.
Someone from Detroit.
Someone is losing her mind.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook.
It's not me.
Hi, Jim. Ali Velshi kind of bummed us all out.
Yeah, well, he's saying what I've been saying. Yeah. You know, apples and shampoo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The debt ceiling should be independent of whatever the... Everything.
Yeah, it is. It's like
everything.
In your household. We have no money for apples. Now, no shampoo. What? Wait a minute, huh?
Or like, well, I'm overextended on my credit, so I'm not going to feed my children now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Things have to be done.
But the whole point is to blame the president for the catastrophe.
Here's some listener comedy. Mark says, Steph, I have a solution to the budget standoff. I think Obama should simply update one of Ronald Reagan's budgets for inflation, submit that to Boehner as a proposal. This, of course, would mean a huge tax increase on the wealthy, substantial increases for social programs. It wouldn't pass, but it would be great fun to watch Boehner blow a fuse and stomp out of the room in righteous fury over the commie pinko socialist budget that Obama has proposed. Even Reagan raised taxes numerous times. Something is dreadfully wrong when Democrats compromise themselves all the way to the right of Reagan, and yet Republicans won't even consider accepting the deal. I believe he did quote Reagan last night, didn't he?
I started to black out and blood came out of my nose.
Yeah.
So
is that what happened?
Everything that happened.
It's me too, but that's a totally different reason.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is this is no time to stop drinking. And Nancy, she's a Central Coast market manager at a big wine company. She says, Steph, I wanted to call in. I was driving at the time yesterday to counter the caller who said Stephanie should be drinking better wines, i.e. wines with cork versus screw caps. Many great domestic wines are moving to screw caps to avoid cork taint.
Right.
That sounds like something Rick Santorum got once.
And it's actually true. Now, let's talk about something that you and I know a lot
cork
about,
taint.
Stephanie, alcohol.
You've never heard of a wine being
corked?
Yeah, the taint of the cork. And actually what they say is that even though it's not very classy, screw top bottles keep wine fresher.
Yes.
Obviously
you can get to it faster.
And it's resealable.
Yes.
Because,
I
get drunk enough. Getting that friggin', corkscrew is a thing for me.
If you want to drink in a park or in your car, there's really nothing like
what am I, a brain surgeon?
Wine.
Tell Steph to drink her screw cap wines with pride.
With
I do.
Pride,
thank you.
Pride.
Thank you. Sometimes I just hack into the box with a knife, like in Psycho. Just,
just cut that thing over like a depth charge and just put your lips up to the side and squeeze.
This is no time to quit sniffing airplane glue. That's all I know. We are in a very, very tense period.
I'm going to go home and drink Robitussin right after this.
Okay, here's somebody having a worse day than you. Don't you hate when your family does this to you? Man wakes up after 21 hours in a morgue fridge.
I hate when that happens.
Oh, I know. I hate this.
A South African health official says a man awoke to find himself in a morgue fridge nearly a day after his family thought he died.
Yikes. That's frightening.
Health department spokesman said he awoke Sunday afternoon 21 hours after his family called in an undertaker who sent him to the morgue after an asthma attack. The health department official urged South Africans to call health officials to confirm the relatives are really dead.
Yes.
Before setting the time. I'm guessing maybe he wasn't that popular. Yeah, you know, he's probably... Okay, good. Take
thank
it.
God they just
ask for a spotter.
Just thank God they didn't immediately cremate him.
Right?
Right?
Seriously, right? I know,
Jim, we'll tell you off the air who's coming to the Detroit show. And then we had a whole, like, literally 14-year-old girl conversation yesterday. I got right.
Is it the Nuge?
I got
it.
Yes, Ted Nugent. He wants to flip me off in person again.
Sure.
He's gonna bring
wants to bow hunt you. Run!
I brought you this precious and rare dead white cow. I carried it here on my back.
Jim, this is what we were... Is it me or... they're already talking about impeaching the president because look what he's gone and done now with the debt. What?
They want to impeach him for any reason.
Yes, exactly. Steve King...
The stunning Steve King?
Yes. He sees that as a cause for impeaching President Obama. During President Bush's tenure, just the fun facts, GOP leaders voted to raise the debt ceiling 19 times without demanding draconian cuts to the social safety. The entire debate right now ignores the fact that Bush's policies added over three times the amount of debt, as have Obama's policies.
And I noted
all the Republicans that have called for the president's impeachment over some other
because
reason.
Because he's breathing.
Yes. Yeah. Because he's a carbon-based life form.
Because he's alive.
Yes. All right. Senator Harry Reid yesterday. Senator Harry
Reid. So today we'll bring to the floor a $2.7 trillion reduction package that I hope can break the impasse and put the rest of the country at ease with the specter of this default. This proposal satisfies Democrats' core principles by protecting Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, and providing a long-term extension of the debt ceiling at the markets they're looking for.
You sure that wasn't John Nance Garner? It sounded like a recording from 1933.
Yeah, I may just say, the Harry Reid plan largely for Democrats kind of sucks ass. But as he said, it's everything they've asked for.
Yeah.
So if they're saying no to that, I mean...
Well, we'll just compromise a little more, and I'm sure they'll say yes then.
He said, Reid said that Republicans are going to have a hard time voting against savings they all voted for their bottom line. Reid said a short-term increase to the debt ceiling is a non-starter in the Senate. On the floor Monday afternoon, Reid said his new proposal provides everything the House Republicans have demanded. If they now oppose an agreement that meets every one of their demands, it'll be because they've put politics first and the good of this nation and economy last, which is fairly clear at this point, I think. So the move by Republican leaders to include the language, by the way, where did this come from all of a sudden, the balanced budget amendment, which is hugely controversial? It's like, what? Now that has to be in there, too, at the last second.
Oh, they'll sneak anything in there.
The move by Republican leaders to include this language in their debt ceiling proposal is significant at this late stage in the debt crisis. It's a certain sign they're looking to wrangle conservative support for passage. Legislation is going to be difficult to pass, but it really is like, how did we get here?
And I do think that they smell blood in the water, right? They smell this kind of panic, and they think we're going to leverage this, we're going to take advantage of it, we're going to use it to ram a bunch of stuff through. This is not the time to be holding the nation's credit rating hostage.
Yeah,
it will bite you. And not just in the hand.
What's the thing, Jim, that the martial art, I always forget the name of, where you use an opponent's old force against him?
Jiu-jitsu, Aikido.
Something, yes.
Omega. Judo, all three of them.
Can of whoop-ass.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of, Aisha. Thank you.
I
but
don't
you just
know
hope, I mean, is there a way at the last second the president steps out of the way and they just yeah. like, okay, you know.
Well, I mean, I think his goal here is not to leverage, is not to game the system, but it's to say we've got to get this done and to be reasonable. And for being reasonable, he's being pilloried. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
hey,
yeah.
Senator, don't you speak calmly when I'm freaking out? That's just rude.
Senator Harry Reid.
The Republicans who used to run the Congress on the two Republican caucuses are being driven by the radical right wing that is so in tune with the Tea Party.
He needs a cup of coffee.
That was a recording from the original Tea Party.
His voice is becoming somewhat strange.
What did you say? The recording just sounds like
yeah.
on a
he needs a
wax
hug.
Cylinder.
Yeah.
And now for your entertainment pleasure, Mabel Normand.
It's old-timey radio.
It's just in on the wire from overseas. The Allies have come together.
President Roosevelt met today with Winston Churchill.
Yeah, see, I do my own Foley work for Michelle Bachmann and her migraines. Hang on. Jim, go ahead. Start the show, too.
June is busting out all over.
The migraine pills in the world.
Someday, somehow, somewhere.
Okay, that was enjoyable.
All right, that's old-timey radio. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hear that shake.
All right.
Was that them grinding up the hurdy-gurdy?
The boner.
The sad truth is that the president wanted a blank check 6 months ago, and he wants a blank check today. This is just not going to happen.
D-bag.
He is. Both he is. A douche nozzle and an ass.
The president's being all reasonable, like a commie socialist he is. But I hate reasonable.
Let's blow open the liar cannon on the boner, because first of all, as Chris Matthews says, it opens with a lie.
You're a bald-faced liar.
Thank you.
A f***ing liar.
Yeah. There is no bipartisan plan. He literally, I couldn't even believe it. That's his opening gambit. There's no reserve.
Well,
we have a bipartisan plan.
That was his attempt to make himself sound reasonable. Right. They haven't been reasonable up to this point. That's his point. Like, well, the president's being grown up. We can be grown up too. We're bipartisan. Bipartisan, I mean, there's that guy. That was like the last Republican convention. They're like, and here are black Republicans. There was one guy.
Yeah.
And here are Latino Republicans. Same guy.
Same guy.
And, here's our Native American Republicans. Well, it's just half of that guy. And there's our woman.
It's like they just moved village people costumes just from one guy to the same guy.
Take off the baseball cap, put on the cowboy hat. Now,
what's the cop doing here?
Put on the headdress. Okay. It doesn't even make any sense. So Boehner sold the details of this two-step plan to raise the debt ceiling to his conference, forging ahead with a proposal that Senate Democratic leaders and President Obama have said is a non-starter. So that is not a bipartisan plan that has passed. During a closed-door meeting with House Republicans, Boehner said the plan includes no tax increases but tempered expectations, saying his plan is not perfect and not identical to the cut, cap, and crap thing. Which it is. It's the and Eric Cantor makes even less sense to me. He said he's 150% behind Boehner's plan, and he said it calls the president's bluff. It's all the proverbial sandwich, he said.
Huh?
What?
Of the debt limit hike.
The sandwich?
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
He must have been hungry.
Boehner is hoping that Senate Democrats may have no choice but to accept the proposal if some Democrats vote with most of the Republican conference, making it the only plan that can clear the House when the deadline to raise the debt ceiling arrives next week. Boehner also challenged Harry Reid during a meeting on his proposal, saying it doesn't have the votes. So, as Aisha said earlier this morning, it's a big swinging contest.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Or, in Boehner's case, a little tiny orange Cheeto. Anyway.
Cheeto?
A tiny little Cheeto.
That's a picture I'm going to take home with me today.
The Boehner.
This legislation reflects a bipartisan negotiation over the weekend with our colleagues in the Senate. And as a result of this bipartisan negotiation, I would call this plan less than perfect. But it does ensure that the spending cuts will be greater than the hike in the debt limit. And secondly, there are no tax increases that are part of this plan.
What's it like to be a liar? Huh? Do you like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
I understand now, because there are a lot of people right now in Congress who don't understand the basic fundamentals of the American government. And
yeah.
He meant bipameral, not bipartisan. He's like, it's bipartisan with our colleagues in the Senate. That doesn't make it bipartisan. The Republicans in the Senate and the House worked on it. It's bipartisan. No, that's bicameral.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour. Aisha Tyler used the word bicameral.
I did. I'm so tired, I'm actually smarter than normal.
She's the smartest, prettiest girl in the world. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Girlfriend, things that make you go ooh. Things that make you go ooh. Things that make you go ooh. Yeah. Things that make you go ooh.
Ooh, I'm playing all the hits the kids are listening to. Aisha Tyler's losing her.
I really
this morning.
Am.
She really
I am,
is.
I'm unhinged.
She's been vomiting blood all morning.
But
all
by,
right.
by using the word bicameral was the last bit of mental power I will ever be able to spend in this life.
Yes. Does that mean having two cameras,
gasp.
Right?
Yes, two cameras.
I'm bicameral.
I am bicameral. I've got one in my Droid phone and one in my iPhone.
It's Aisha Tyler Unhinged this morning. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Let's go to Jim in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Stephanie, as far as Mr. Ted Nugent having a problem with you and other people, when he was doing his little thing, romping around on stage in his Tarzan outfit, he made millions of dollars, okay, playing his guitar and going in concert and selling records. And who does he think that bought most of those records and paid the ticket at the gate? It's working class people.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden the guy is too good for everybody, like a typical Republican, when they've made their money and used the public, and he forgot where he came from. I mean, most of the GOP Christians don't like rock and roll music that's headbanging. So again, if he's got a problem with you or anybody else, ask the guy in the mirror, where'd you come
well,
from?
Well, he only has a problem with me in the sense that he's flipped me off live on national television. But other than that, I'm sure he's quite the feminist.
Ha.
Let's go to Ellen in...
Same way he loves animals.
Yes. Ellen in San Diego. Hello, Ellen.
Hi. I've got two things about Boehner that popped up on my radar this morning. One is that who put my radio on Laura Ingraham when I got in the car? Thank you very much.
But Zoinks.
She was...
That's horrifying.
My kids use like, my car. They are grounded.
Like, was there a ghost
anyway,
in here?
Anyway, she was said to her quote-unquote Tea Party friends, don't be mad at Boehner. Be happy because he's finally learned. We finally got through to him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that's what someone was saying. He went right-wing Tea Party crazy last night. Like, he's not been the guy negotiating to within, you know, what small amount with the president. I mean, it's just, he's gone nuts. The Boehner yesterday.
Time's running short.
Oh.
I'm urging my House colleagues to support it, and I'm urging my Senate colleagues to support it as well. And I think it would be irresponsible for the president to veto such legislation because it is a common sense plan and will help us avoid default.
Mm.
It's time to get serious about solving America's problems, and I believe our plan is a good step in the right direction.
Seriously bad.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And his little buddy, Adam's apple.
No side gets all that they want. This is a responsible plan that addresses
Please.
The urgency of trying to make sure we avoid default, which I know that we will. But then it sets in motion a process for real cuts so that we can live up to our obligation to the
people
that
sent us
here.
D-bag and teacup.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, well, who is he talking to? There's nothing in there. He said, oh, nobody gets everything they want. That's everything they want.
That's everything they want. It's everything they want. I mean, that's like saying, well, we wanted 10 scoops of ice cream. We got 9. You got none. And yet somehow we've sacrificed. We've given up something here. We've accommodated you.
Is there still a chance? And I don't, you know, I'm just asking, what happens at the end of the day with all of this? Somehow we get a clean debt bill, which we should have gotten in the first place, and then you have this discussion.
Yeah,
about
and then you have a real
reduction.
Active discussion, and and you're not being immature, and you're not holding the country
and the
average Americans
hostage.
And the whole and the global economy hostage.
Yeah, you're not making decisions while the house is on fire,
yeah,
and then go, oh well, that's
in a panic, in an irresponsible panic.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Kevin McCarthy, Republican, California.
This plan is not perfect.
Yes.
But it shows a great contrast to what the president's laid out. The president continues to pick politics over people. His only concern when you listen to him is he brings up the election. We're more concerned about the policies and where this country is going.
I knew they were
going
to say that. It's
not because it's during the elections. It's because, as you said earlier, you can't reassure, you know, the markets and assure interest rates if this is only a short-term thing.
Exactly.
And you know, everybody knows you're going to be back here again in 6 months.
In 6 months. And if you're this recalcitrant and this irresponsible and this reckless now, how are you going to be when you think you've won and you've really got, you know, your opposition up against the wall? It's just, it's so irresponsible.
Yeah, that's right in the middle of an election. I mean, that tells you more than anything that Republicans only want to make this about politics.
Mm-hmm.
They want this in the middle of election season again.
They don't
screw America, screw the world financial system. As Ali Velshi was saying earlier, and you said, Aisha, that it may already be too late and that we may already be downgraded.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to hurt everybody. Guess who that helps? Republicans, politically. It helps every little bit they can chip away at the economy is going to help them.
I know that a lot of the poll numbers are changing right now and that both sides are getting blamed for this. And actually, people are blaming the Republicans a little bit more than they're blaming the Democrats overall on this. So I actually don't want to know who this is going to hurt more because I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
But if it does happen, I actually doubt that the president is going to be the one who's mostly blamed. However, the problem is he is the president that's in power.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Evidently,
Stephanie Miller,
star citizen, is also
Stephanie Miller,
star of Quest for Fur. It just goes to show you never know what sort of person is living next door.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, this will make us all feel better.
I hope so.
Yeah, what with the old, you know, world financial
whatever
catastrophe meltdown. Such Armageddon that we're on the brink of. Mike and Raleigh sent a funny parody song about the Steffi Show.
Mm-hmm. The show started up at its anal block all up and down the dial.
Whee!
With Stephanie,
yes,
the producer too.
Yes, ma'am.
The voice deity
and his wife,
Johnny Quest.
Yep.
The movie star, Aisha Tyler. Kyle Sparks and John Fugel sang here on Stephanie's show.
Well, yay!
And the rest.
And the rest.
Oh, that was the first season.
Sorry, everybody else. You're just the rest. Okay, Carolyn and Akron, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, guys. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is what really pisses me off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence O'Donnell, last night, he did some special thing after all the, you know, the bonehead spoke and everything.
Right.
And I don't remember the woman's name, but she was a Republican. And he basically said, do you guys go in a room and convince yourselves that, you know, Social Security and Medicare is the problem? And do you convince yourselves of these lies? And she wouldn't answer the question. And that's basically what is driving me crazy, is that these guys are so disingenuous. And I mean, God, they just keep putting these lies out, and nobody's calling them on it.
Right.
And it's driving me nuts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, Chris Matthews was saying right after Boehner spoke. I mean, this is a serious debate, Carolyn, and he started with a lie. There obviously is not a bipartisan agreement, or we wouldn't be here. It's like to try to just try to, you know, start with that and then go with Tea Party crazy from there to try to placate your base. It's just, you know, we are really in a serious crisis. You know, it's that point, like Aisha was saying, like chicken or wherever. I mean, we're there.
Right.
We're there.
Right.
Yeah.
We're at the collision point already.
Yeah.
And you know, I know you know all about Ohio and our wonderful our governor. You know, in my school district, we have a levy coming up on August 2nd. Ha, ha, ha. There is no way that's going to pass. And I mean, nobody has any money, and everyone is so angry about, the lies that keep getting put out there. that it's the average American that has caused this. I wrote to my, when Obama said, let your representatives know, I was on my computer in a second, and I wrote to all of them.
And, Carol, I was on stage this week in Seattle with Dennis Kucinich, obviously, of Ohio.
I
and
love him.
Yeah, I mean, me too. That's the thing. You feel like there's so few of them that are so in touch with people like you in Ohio and how bad things really are and what. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like we don't have the cushion to fool around in this country, Oh, I realize, by the way, what a dream world I live in. Not being... So, boy band lives next door?
Yeah.
Can't say who. This is how when you live in Hollywood, where it's not like what normal people are dealing with. So I come home yesterday, and there's a shiny new black Range Rover with a giant red bow on it. And it was kind of parked like between mine and his. And I said to his girlfriend, I'm like, oh, my God, thank you, you guys. That is so nice. You're the nicest neighbors. Thank you.
They were shooting a commercial.
Range Rover.
My husband gets so angry every Christmas.
Hi, honey. Welcome home. It's a Range Rover.
When they have those ads where it's like, the mom, finds the key under the tree and she goes out and there's, a $110,000 car in the driveway.
Yeah, with the big bow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, way to make the rest of us feel inadequate.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I got you this necklace. It's Zales. $79 and it came with a chocolate rose.
That Lexus commercial makes me cry every Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Baby, it's cold.
Yeah, that's like one. What
Let's
three
drive
people
a Lexus
are doing that.
Around.
Where do you get
it's
those
cold
big bows?
Outside.
I don't know.
I've only seen them in commercials.
Do you? Exactly. The bows are as expensive as the car. They're custom ordered from overseas.
I was like, really?
I know.
Really? In this economy, people are so much.
It's outrageous. I know.
Cars with big red paws.
Two Americas, my friends. Two Americas.
Yeah, and I'm meanwhile pulling up Beverly Hillbillies. Steam hubcaps coming off.
Chitty chitty bang bang. Chitty bang bang. Yeah. Chitty chitty bang bang.
There was a story in the that Laura Ingraham had $11,000 worth of jewelry stolen out of her bag at Newark Airport, and Randy Rhodes and I were saying that's how you can tell the difference between conservative and progressive talk. We can't afford $11,000 worth of jewelry. Really? You travel around with $11,000 worth of jewelry? Bruce in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I travel with a swatch.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm suffering from RIN disease this morning.
What's RIN?
Republican-induced nausea.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm going to burp.
How in the world does Glenn Beck still have a job?
Yeah.
How in the world can anybody compare shooting victims to Hitler Youth?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the implication is they sort of had it coming because it was
because it's a liberal.
Yeah. If it was a Christian camp like they have here,
it's the Labor Party in
America,
Norway.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
So it's not, communist indoctrination in Glenn Beck's mind. So Hitler Youth.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, because I know you like the sad hobo music, Aisha.
I do like the sad hobo.
It's another
music.
Story about
the
how
bad soundtrack to my life.
Difference between rich right wing hosts and the rest of us.
Nah.
Okay, so not only do I not have $11,000 worth of jewelry to get stolen out of my bag, so I have a little antique watch that I got in New York. One of those little places for I had to bargain back and forth all morning. And $39 or whatever. It's
antique.
It's not antique. You know what I mean? It's like an old-timey kind of watch, but it just was like a...
Old-timey.
It's hand-me-down thing that I bargained for at a little store. And anyway, so I wore that on Sexy Liberal, and because I do way too much physical comedy for a woman of my advanced years, it broke on stage somewhere and fell. Anyway, I went to another little watch guy here and had it repaired. Because the little thing fell out. That's my $11,000.
I was waiting for the punchline.
I had paid to have my $39 watch repaired rather than
waste not, want not, young lady.
That's one of those negotiations, $59. Are you crazy? All right, $39 is a deal.
I wish I was brave enough to do that. I never haggle for anything. No. I literally come in and they just see the cartoon.
Oh,
donkey,
I pull my
I
just pull my pockets out like a hobo.
Do you walk in a barrel with suspenders?
Tracy in L.A. Oops, I did the wrong. Never mind. Hang on, Eric in. Oh, for the God's sakes! I'm drunk. Eric in Harlem
again.
Hello.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Aisha.
Hi.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. Hey, you know, I was just I was telling Rebecca, I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous. We're not going to get anywhere with this. You know, the president, this whole thing is being held hostage by those freshmen who came in 2010, and their whole plan, you know, for the Tea Party was not to bring in jobs for the economy. It was to protect, you know, corporations. It was to dismantle Medicare. It was to privatize Social Security. And it wasn't to raise taxes. And that's the problem. And this is the problem that Bonner is dealing with. And I really believe that Bonner really wants to do something, but he's being held hostage by people like Eric Cantor, by people like Paul Ryan, who are part of that fringe group.
But he's being held hostage by Kathy Doerr. She's the Tea Party leader.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties, stop being noodle bat.
It's Kathy Doerr. Wow. Please and thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
She
all right. Thank you.
Charming.
She's a Tea Party leader.
Noodle bat.
Thank you. You know what occurred to me is that's the only good thing about this economy is there's work for guys like Vic. He's my watch guy. Have you ever? And then I have a shoe guy that repairs shoes. There's those little tiny little teeny tiny storefronts. And I'm always amazed.
Little guys be walking like, how are you still
have jobs?
Business.
They still have jobs because we can't afford new shoes or new watches. We must have them repaired.
What I do is I fold up a nice piece of cardboard and I stick it in the bottom of my shoe. Cover up the hole. Then I stuff my pockets with newspaper. I take my pencils out to the street.
Somewhere there's somebody who repairs black and white TVs with rabbit ears.
I appreciate people
but you
with
need
a
craft. Wormhole to get to them.
I appreciate that. I do. Yeah, I little shoe man.
What's
He's a little old man.
We're not generally a country that repairs things. In Europe, they do that. Like they reuse things.
Yeah.
You pay once for something well made. We are very much a disposable culture, and it's interesting because I think a lot of working class and poor Americans don't realize how a lot of the people that have been suckered by the extreme right, you know, the jobs overseas and the blah, 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 those are the same people that go and they want to get 10 t-shirts for $10 at Walmart, and they don't realize the reason you can afford these things is because we're sending all these jobs overseas. Yeah. You know, I mean,
I'm also of that elderly kind of age where I'm like, well, they just don't make them like they used to.
And
I'll just get it repaired.
We don't know because, that's the thing. Nowadays, we make things to be thrown out.
Yeah.
You know, and not reused. For example,
I really do. That's when you know you
Range
become
Rover the other day with a bow on it.
You did?
It had a scratch. I threw it in the trash.
No, you didn't either.
Ran and bought a new one. I got three for $299,000.
Now you realize that you suddenly have become your mother when you, for the first time, you say something like, oh, they just don't make material like this anymore. Look at that. I'm just going to have this retailer.
I'm going to keep this, put this up for later.
Tracy, I'm going to save this Werther's for after lunch.
In my pocketbook.
Tracy in Los Angeles. Welcome to the old club.
Yeah, and I'm about the same age, and I remember when I can say I'll take my business elsewhere.
Yay! Did you actually say harumph and turn on your heel? Well, sir. Well, good day, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
I said good day.
Good day to you.
I guess my money's no good here, huh?
My money is no good here. Well, you know, I am black, so they don't think my money's good anywhere.
go ahead, Tracy.
You're an American. You know?
We have to laugh to keep from crying.
And that's why I'm calling. And first of all, I feel that I should be the official black lady cab driver of the Stephanie Miller Show.
So done.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I have a lot of regular customers. Most of them are senior citizens. So guess what? I fixed income. Yeah. And I have this little old lady that I've been driving around for a while. Her name is Mary. And she was on the verge of tears yesterday.
You drive her mostly to shoe and watch repair places like I go to?
Pretty much to repair the broken glasses and, you know, the hip, you know, to get the hip repaired that she keeps falling on.
Oh, boy.
And she is terrified. She's like, Tracy, I don't know what's wrong. I've been so depressed. And, you know, we talk about movies and stuff because she used to work at Universal. And I said, well, you know, I guess it's because she's like, I don't know what's going on. Then we start talking about politics. And she's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm on a fixed income. If I don't get my Social Security check, I'm done.
Yeah.
I have no money in the bank. I have no money in the bank. Hell,
none of us
drive
do.
A cab in. Look, I drive a cab in L.A. Come on.
Yeah. All right, Tracy, it's time for you to slam down your 1940s telephone and take your business elsewhere.
Exactly.
Thank you for calling.
Oh,
darn it.
Thank you.
I'll be on the fainting couch. Good day, sir.
Does she ever drive around anyone named Daisy? Because that
would
be funny.
That would be funny. I'm going to lie down here and attend to my consumption.
Slam down my phone and I'll be on the fainting couch.
Having a mint julep on the veranda.
46.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yes. 6 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
Yay.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I love Dane Cook. What?
Yeah. It is the...
That's it, the other one.
Before the change.
Oh, dear. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, filling the giant gaping void in Taylor Dane music and talk radio. 51 minutes. And the searing need for Aisha Tyler, which I do my best to fulfill those needs. And she's going to be at Sexy Liberal, everybody.
Sexy Liberal
Aisha
Show.
Tyler joins the Sexy Liberal Show, House Sparks in Scotland for all of August. So Aisha Tyler, John Fuglesang, and I will be in Santa Fe August 6th and in Detroit August 20th. Get your tickets now at sexyliberal.com.
Exciting. Oh, my God.
Anyway, we totally had a 14-year-old girl conversation about the really big name that has to come to the show in Detroit.
I think I should give you guys the presents that I bought for you now.
What is what?
Am I on Ustream?
Yeah.
Sure.
I am going to reveal a little thing that I just brought in special. Just
okay.
For you guys.
Oh, hang on, boys. She's opening her shirt.
Oh, my God.
You have a boogity boogity cheese shirt. Yay!
Special limited edition boogity boogity cheese shirt.
I would not have spelled it that way. But
I did a very unscientific online canvas.
Yes.
Fans will come on my page and type boogity boogity cheese,
yeah.
And I use the most commonly spelled version of boogity. Also, the one that has spoke to me.
I'm sorry,
my soul.
You're going to have to go back and explain for those new listeners to the Stephanie Miller program.
Yes.
What is the origin of boogity boogity cheese?
The origin of boogity boogity cheese. I don't know how we ever end up talking about anything on this show.
Yeah. No.
I don't know how we get there.
It's a series of brain farts, and many of the things you say end up on T-shirts.
Speaking of non sequiturs,
strangely enough, so it was about brain surgery, and that when you're having brain surgery, you have to be awake for brain surgery because they don't want to cut the wrong part.
Sure.
Yes, they want to make sure everything's all working, that your pistons keep firing.
Yes.
So they cut your head open while you're still awake, and they poke at it, pokey pokey pokey
poke.
And then every once in a while they ask you if you're okay. And I don't know how your answer could ever be yes, because your head is open and they're poking at your brain. But you're supposed to go, yeah, I'm good, feeling good, yeah, you know, just watching a little Jeopardy. And that way they know if they poke you in the wrong spot, and you go, pokey pokey cheese, that they need to not, to avoid that
stay
part.
Away from that part.
Yeah. So, yeah,
you don't even need to go to medical school to know that is the boogity boogity cheese, is that's how they know they've hit the wrong part.
Undergraduate
it's like
study.
Operation, the game. It's, boogity boogity cheese!
This is the extent of my medical knowledge.
You hit the funny bone!
Yeah. So at the Sexy Liberal Shirts in August, there will be special edition boogity boogity cheese t-shirts.
She's bringing her boogity boogity cheese swag on
and
tour.
And they're not very many, so they may all sell out in Santa Fe, but we'll see. And I brought some for you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. People in Santa Fe are just going ape dump right now.
Ape dump.
What?
Ape poop.
Ape poop. Andrea in Miami.
What a great excuse to look at your boobs.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, Jim,
like
I could see that. He's like, look at the graphics. Wow.
Is that Yellsburg? Is that the cheese there? No, then maybe.
Whoop.
Nice Edom.
Yikes.
Edom.
Andrea.
Edom and wheat.
Hi, Andrea.
Good morning, guys.
Sorry, we're all just leering at Aisha Tyler. Zonga. Nice happy bags.
Really cool. I'm actually watching on the Ustream because it's the only way in poor Miami that we can actually get some good liberal radio.
Yay.
I'm waving at you. I don't know if you can
tell. All right, go ahead.
There you go. My point was that I'm having a hard time comprehending these teabaggers, and I guess my first issue was trying to understand them. But I don't understand how somebody who claims that they love the Constitution so much can forget the 14th Amendment and that we, kind of have to take care of our debt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the president may have to go there, and I know that some legal experts are saying that he can't, but, I understand Bill Clinton saying you may have to try it. Yeah.
Let him come after you later.
Yeah, but what someone told me yesterday, Jim, unfortunately, and again, elections, it's why they matter, it's because of the makeup of the Supreme Court now. that they won't uphold him. I mean, that's the problem.
They feel emboldened in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tony in Ohio. Hey, Tony.
Hey, I'm in Ohio 16, Mr. Renacci's district. And I was looking at his website yesterday, and he had a little poll on the side about the debt ceiling. Choice one, raise it, but with substantial cuts. Choice two, no, not at any time or under any circumstances. Or choice three, don't know at this time. Nice choices, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I called up his people and said to them, I'd like you to offer me another choice that says yes with cuts and revenue increases. They didn't think that was all that great an idea, really. And, you know, I was watching the news today, people responding to our president's presentation last night, which I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I did too.
And condescending is the word they keep trying to use about him.
Anytime him lecturing us again about
uppity.
Worldwide financial meltdown.
The
word
is
uppity.
The problem is these guys are simply unaccustomed to an African-American that says anything other than, you're Rob Roy, sir. I recommend the nine-iron, sir.
Well, Tony, I mean, that's what I've said is I honestly try not to rush to the race card, but you just go, when the first time in history a president is asked to produce his birth certificate, when the first time in history we're not going to raise the debt ceiling, you know, you can take one, when for the first time in history someone yells, you lie, at the president of the United States during a State of the Union, you know, is there some through line? I think so.
See, I've been a white guy my entire life.
Really? I was born a poor black child.
White guys my entire life. And I can tell you, it's there. I mean, anybody who wants to pretend it's not there is lying to themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
it certainly is irrational. I mean, remember what they used to call it? You know, we talked about the irrational, like, you know, Clinton derangement syndrome, too. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is, in my opinion, even worse. And I lived through the worst of that in the impeachment.
Yeah. Now, you see, I think sometime during the Reagan administration, all the white folks kind of got together and had themselves sort of a town meeting and decided that we really had done enough for those people now. Mm-hmm. And that any further suffering or inequality was really pretty much their problem.
Yep.
And
yep.
we dissolved ourselves of any real responsibility. Mm-hmm. And since race is no longer an issue, then anybody who says, hey, that's racism, is playing the race card, and that's kind of like cheating, and it's not really cricket.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I had a perfect example. This is just a weird analogy. I remember I had a really incredibly racist landlady in New York.
Good
many
times,
years ago,
good times.
And she would say the N-word. But it was like that kind of like, oh, it's just us white people. And I would say, stop saying that. She's like, why?
Like, why do you care?
And I thought, this is a weird analogy.
Why do you care?
On the
You're
plane
white.
On the way home from Seattle this weekend, a guy sat next to me and he goes, oh, good, it's all skinny people in this row. And I thought, he thought that was okay because we were all skinny. And I thought,
no, that's
like fattest. But you're going, you know, oh, it's just a skinny people here. Thank God there's no fat
Megan Mullally
in this row.
Made a joke like that the other day on television about when someone said she was nominated for an Emmy, she thought she was nominated for Emmy's show. Like, I got nominated for a fat show. I was like, how is that okay to say? That is not okay to say.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right now, and I feel good. It is The Stephanie Miller Show. We are all the proud owner of Boogity Cheese T-shirts.
Yay!
Which we will be bringing to Santa Fe with us for the Sexy Liberal Tour starring Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, check it out.
City of Santa Fe, looking for something really different?
And now for something completely different.
Santa Fe.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is headed to the Great Southwest.
Sunny Santa Fe would be
nice.
That's right. Your favorite progressive players are bound for New Mexico.
I am New Mexico.
On August 6th, the Lenzic Theater in Santa Fe will welcome the ultimate trio grand. John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler,
yummy,
and Mamacita herself, Stephanie Miller.
What do you think of that, folks?
That's incredible.
Tickets are available online at Lenzic.org by calling 505-988-1234 or by visiting the Lenzic Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Lenzic Theater in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I needed a ride to New Mexico!
Santa Fe, prepare yourself for true liberal enchantment.
Mm-hmm, thank you!
Very, very exciting. And then, you know, Saturday, August 20th, we're going to be in Detroit, right? And so it's a really, really big name. Just asked for tickets yesterday. Then we can't say who, because then we don't want to scare them all. But I told Aisha, and we talked about it for like a half an hour.
It's like really far away, right? Too. I don't think I'm going to be able to take this.
August 20th, I can't wait!
Okay.
Oh,
just saying.
Zoe MG.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we just had like a whole text conversation. Oh my God, I can't believe it. LOL. MG. Oh my God.
LMFAO.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay. So, and then the tour rolls on September, Asheville, North Carolina, Seattle, Saturday. Oh my God, Friday, September 30th, and Saturday, October 1st.
Yeah.
Los Angeles. San Francisco, then Austin, then Buffalo. Check it out. It's actually everyone on Facebook. Okay. Oh, also, give me my dating game music. A lot of people getting a lot of sexy liberal strange on the road. So there's some few scattered single seats left, I believe, for, say, for instance, Santa Fe. Everything else is sold out, but you can, and a lot of people picking up a lot of sexy other sexy liberals. It's a big, joyous, you know, gangbang.
Oh, yeah, go on your own and just hug it out with somebody.
Yeah, hug it out, bitches.
A like-minded lover.
There you go. These are the kind of proposals I get. Mark, hi, Steph. I can't believe to tell you how much I admire you and your show. Love it first here. Then I saw a picture of you. It was lust at first sight. I swear if you were straight, I was single, you were older, or I was younger, you were shorter and I was taller, you were Jewish, I lived in your part of the country, you lived here in Ohio, I'd be all over you like dumb on dumb ya. Those are the kind of proposals I get that are completely theoretical.
If 500 or 600 factors were different.
Yes, then
you and I
would
be
baby.
Perfect for each other.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not you or me. It's everything else.
I told you that my only cure for insomnia is my friend Rob. He rubs my head like his Labrador lady, and he goes, oh, shh, beautiful, and then I fall asleep in his lap. So there is something about proximity to a penis that makes me very sleepy.
Or proximity to Tagalog.
I was going to say, and he's not Filipino. No, he's not Filipino. And it's interesting you say that proximity to a penis makes you sleepy, because I think there are
maybe it's
many hundreds
Lunesta.
Of thousands of married women who might say the same thing.
She made a married lady joke. I ate your time as a married lady.
We're gonna on train. I'm so tired.
Oh my God,
I
want to apologize. All so tired.
I am so sleep deprived. I went to sleep like an hour ago.
Okay, let me
so
just
tired.
Say the sexy liberal show is not just 2 hours of gibberish. We actually, it is. There's stand up. There's
3 hours of
panel.
Gibberish.
There's audience Q&A. It's
there's
a good time.
Dancing. Apparently, Stephanie's going to do some kind of a terrifying political pole dance.
Yes, that's what I do.
Yes.
Eric writes, Steph, it makes perfect sense you'd fall asleep in the proximity of the penis. You're a lesbian. For you, it's like watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's long, boring,
Shyamalan.
And makes no sense.
Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Yeah, I had to work on that for a minute in my head.
I see dead penises.
Ah.
Okay, Jerry, I don't know what I meant by that. Jerry
no,
and Cicero. Mama, on Mondays with the Clerk, Edie said that in a band she could play anything you can bang and make noise. Could she play Laura Ingraham? According to Gris and Jim, she makes a lot of noise when you bang. Listen.
To the right. Yeah. Pull my hair.
I still don't feel anything. Are you even doing it now?
Once again, the Stephanie Miller Show has no information on whether Laura Ingraham likes her hair pulled very soon. We apologize. It is a skit.
Anything to make that broad feel.
But we do think she likes it more to the right.
That's to always the right. To the right.
To the right.
Yes.
All right, Kathy, and this is the other thing. I have no, what's the word, Chris? Life, really, of any kind. However, a lot of people have dreams about me. So
no.
I'm very active in other people's dream lives.
Yeah.
Can I have some dream music, please? Kathy in Brooklyn, and people always have really weird dreams about me. Steph, do you ever dress like a prison matron? Well, I think you know the answer to that.
Prison
yes.
matron?
That's yes.
Yeah. No? Well, you did in my dream the other night. You were really very scary and stern. You had a short, blonde, matronly hairdo. I was all dressed up in my diva gown and singing in a very important competition. You were my coach. We were waiting backstage for me to go on stage, and I was so nervous. You were giving me a pep talk, and you were pacing back and forth in your severe, black, and comfortable lace-up grandma shoes and support hose. Scary, scary, scary. I went out and sang my guts out while you stood backstage with your arms crossed, scowling. I lost. I wonder what it all means. I don't know, Kathy. It means that you could possibly have less of a life than I do.
Don't have Thai food before
Google
you go to sleep.
Google support hoses. There were 17 debt ceiling increases during the Reagan presidency.
Yeah. Oh, 17. Hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We have a liberal radio royalty. Mike Malloy on the phone, who I was just in Seattle
really?
With.
Cool.
Whose daughter wants me to be her new mommy. Good morning,
yeah.
Mike Malloy.
Good morning, Stephanie. Why do you sound so chipper? I've still got jet lag. What the hell's going on?
Well, I was telling
you, do you carry an oxygen tank with you?
No.
You taking hits?
No. Well, I drink continuously, as I did all through the panel.
Yeah. Well, okay.
So your 8-year-old Molly,
Seven.
Sorry. She was attached to me the whole night, like an alien face hugger. And
like a lamprey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we were saying now that gay marriage has passed, we hear the same arguments about gay people aren't good for children. And I'm just saying, no offense to you and your lovely wife, Kathy, but that child wanted to go home with me.
Oh, she did.
That child
she
clung
did.
To me all night yelling, new mommy, new mommy, new mommy.
She's still calling you new mommy. She woke up in the middle of the night and started screaming for Stephanie last night.
Yeah. She's hungry for an umami burger.
Yeah. And you guys, all the smartest liberals in the country, you and Kucinich and, Randy Rhodes and Mike Papantonio, Ron Ray, you're all talking. And I essentially, you can confirm, was sitting just with Molly on my lap, and we were speaking like Nell to each other. We were just
right.
like,
And playing a little card games, Old Maid. I think I saw an Old Maid deck, a little bit of Uno.
Screw you, Malloy. Screw you, Malloy. I get the joke.
It was a great. You're sharp on the uptake. It was great having a celebrity like you as a babysitter. Oh my God!
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I don't. I'm like crack to kids because I have no interest in them of any kind, and they can't get enough of me. I don't know what it is.
The only problem is the statement here. Why are you charging $7 an hour?
I'm going to send you babysitting bill for Saturday night.
It was great fun.
She is adorable, and your wife is awesome. I thought that she was fictional, really, because I've known you for, 7-8 years, and I'm like, there is no Kathy. Whatever.
Well, that's the reason.
Malloy's like a madman. He can't be married to anybody.
That's the reason that they both came along to validate that, I'm fairly normal. Not really, but fairly normal. I do have a partner. I do have a kid. I do have, a lot of bills. I do have a mortgage payment,
I have, and I've always loved you. And now, however, I want to marry your wife and steal your daughter. So there. Sucks to be you, Malloy.
A little competition is always good for the soul,
I love you, honey. It is always good to see your devastatingly sexy self on stage in Seattle. It's like a summer camp, for liberal hosts.
It definitely is. Listen, take it easy.
Take
lots of oxygen, and I'll see you next year.
Kiss my daughter for me.
I'll do it.
All right. Bye, Malloy. There he goes, Mike Malloy. Oh, God, that kid. I see. Did I tell you? Jim, she's traumatized being away from me. Oh, there is nothing for a single childless loser like someone chanting and just jumping up and down all night, new mommy, new mommy, new mommy. I'm like, oh, boy, oh.
How long do you think you could take that, having a 7-year-old?
Well, listen, the event was a couple hours long, and I was like, wow.
I have to say that I love kids. Like, I've got three nieces and a nephew, and I like being around kids and, like, everything about them except for the part where they're there all the time.
Yeah.
And
you're like, can't you get a job, something?
And my husband and I have had a couple of encounters with kids recently where we were like, well, if we can't do it for 15 minutes, maybe 40 years isn't a good idea. Because my mother is still dealing with me. I'm like, Mommy, I want a sandwich. Mommy, what are you doing? And I'm like a grown-ass woman with a mortgage. So.
And you still need a sandwich.
Mommy, I want you to make it like you did before. Make it with Fluffernutter, Mommy. Pay attention to me.
By the way, I just thought, here's another example of there's something going on in the world is all I'm saying. If you're looking at the polling, if you're looking at, the recalls, the success of the Sexy Liberal Show is, I bring it back to me. The Sarah Palin documentary bombs during the second week in the theaters.
Oh, bombed on the first week, bombed on opening night.
Now it's bombier.
People were in there by accident. We thought this was a boxing movie.
Now it's bombier. The Undefeated. the much-hyped Palin documentary bombed during its second week, bringing in just $24,000 in ticket sales.
Well, it's hard to be defeated when you quit.
Yikes.
We wanted to beat her, but she ran away.
I still was kind of hoping for the Trump-Palin ticket, the you're fired, I quit ticket. You know
what
I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That would be the bumper sticker.
You're fired.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're fired.
I quit. 18 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, as Tuesdays with Tyler Rose Long on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I wanna text her.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Clap. Oh, the GOP unveils their latest debt crap plan thing.
Got this morning. We thought about it. Maybe the last one sucked.
23 minutes after the hour. Peter in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Peter.
Hello, everybody. Hey, I used to be the official middle-aged white guy of the Stephanie Miller Show who couldn't lose that last 10 pounds, but I lost it.
Yay!
Oh, congratulations. That's exciting.
We need to change my title.
Okay.
Anyway, I was listening to the Boner's speech last night. I guess you could call it a speech. It made me cry. He didn't cry this time. I don't know. It sort of spurred me to action, and I wrote him an email because living in California, you know, most of our representatives are on our side. So I think everybody out there should write to Boner, let him know how mad you are at him, and see if we can make some changes because this is just getting stupid now. The lies. He was so disrespectful to Obama. It made me mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know. Well, I mean, the fact that, you know, we're in such a serious situation and it was just such a bunch of lies, basically. Yeah. This is not, you know, a car deal. It's like,
man. Big bow.
Yes, the big bow on the car.
Yeah, look at my, this is my new budget plan with a big red bow.
We'll put a big red bow on our credit rating going down.
Oh, yeah. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? Oh, Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Freaks on the Norway shooting.
The mainstream media quick to paint the Norway terror suspect as a right-wing operative.
Well,
is that true?
Yes.
Or is he just crazy?
No.
Oh, well, yes. Okay.
Oh, I see. They're always just crazy.
Don't want to own the other stuff, huh? Just own it when it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, did you see this? They jumped all over that this was obviously Al-Qaeda. And,
right.
And now I love this headline. Conservative media, Norway shooter is Muslim-ish. Anyway.
Because we wanted to
be. In what way? He's a crusader. He's on the other side.
Yes.
He's Muslim-ish in that
Christian.
A Breitbart
website.
He has
a collection of anti-Muslim comics.
It surmised the attacks could have meant that Norway's big Muslim problem had just blown up in its face.
What?
Erik Erikson wrote, a terrorist bombing in Oslo, I bet you it wasn't Lutherans who did it. So they jumped all over that, and now they're sort of, moonwalking back. From the Breitbart website, they had Anders is a jihadist.
Oh.
This Norwegian terrorist was not a Christian or a conservative. He acted contrary to the teachings of the Bible and conservatives from Burke to Madison. He is instead a jihadist, blinded by ideology, who resorted to violence rather than engaging in a public debate of ideas.
Blinded by the ideology he opposes.
Yes, he claimed to be fighting a jihadist, but he actually became one.
Oh, God.
So, a Christian can never possibly twist their religion.
They're twisting themselves into pretzels over this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Change the location. He acted like so many jihadists in the Middle East. He's Muslim-y. Wow.
God. That's really just depressing.
And that what's more depressing is there are people stupid enough to believe that crap.
I love this. Erik Erikson writes that while he was wrong, he was nonetheless justified in his assumption because Christians, unlike Muslims, do not commit politically motivated violence. Except this guy just did. But this is what they tried to say about McVeigh. Oh, he wasn't. That's not a Christian extremist.
No, just because it's. I mean, that's the thing. It's like you can't have it both ways. You can't go around screaming and crying about there being some kind of like cataclysmic, you know, end of days, a conflict between the Muslims and the Christians, and then not own the crazy Christians who are trying to bring that end of days conflict into being.
Yeah.
Can't be a Christian because you did bad things. Just like Ted Hagger can't be gay because he's married.
Exactly. And Marcus Bachmann, because he does, gay repair. He couldn't
possibly.
I'll tell
you why he can't be gay, because a real gay man would not pick them ugly-ass clothes out for his wife. That's what
That's
I have to say about
saying.
That.
Oh,
a
my
real
God.
Gay man would have some taste. We can all agree
Donald
as a team that A-line skirts are out. Okay,
whatever.
I think we can all vote on that. And
all right. Donald Trump on Fox and Friends.
The fact is, unless the Republicans get 100% of what they want, and that may include getting rid of Obamacare, which is a total disaster, then they should not make a deal other than a minor extension, which would take you before the election, which would assure that Obama doesn't get elected, which would be a great thing. When it comes time to default, they're not going to remember any of the Republicans' names. They're going to remember in history books one name. And that's Obama.
Can we set him on fire?
Oh, Aisha Louise Tyler. Oh, boy, Newsbusters. Oh,
lefty crazy threatens hairpiece with fire.
Careful, Scarecrow.
You know, my skull merkin is totally fireproof.
I use fire in a metaphor.
It's usually fireproof.
A metaphor for things that burn.
All right. Rush Limbaugh.
My mouth is oriented towards saving the country. Every waking moment, every thought I have
during preparation of this program, even when I am on the golf course, it distresses me to see what has happened to this country and to know it need not have happened, to know that it happened because of policies implemented by someone who, I don't care, is either clueless or is himself a saboteur.
Mm. That's his main theme. The president sabotaging the country on purpose.
Why does this show always sound so crappy?
Yeah, you with that golden microphone. Yeah. It's a gold-plated microphone from Radio Shack.
Yeah, he didn't get it for the sound quality, obviously.
Hey, kid, I'll give you $1 to take this out behind the butt and spray it with paint.
Because he's got so much spittle on it. It's sort of, some of the wiring is...
I'll go all over the country, and I'll go to stations where, like, you know, you go to a place where there's, like, five stations. Right. You're waiting to go on your one station, and they have him on, like, the green room. He sounds crappy. Everywhere you go, it's, like, the lowest production value of any... Why don't you just pick up a microphone...
Because he needs all the money for OxyContin.
...and 64 and broadcast it over a bullhorn, you old coot. Sorry.
Because he spends it all on OxyContin. He has no money left for wiring and such.
Listen, I got $1. What can I get for $1? 3 pills and a microphone.
Excellence right. In pharmaceuticals and crappy wiring and broadcasting network, my friends.
I don't need the microphone. I just take the pills.
29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't believe I'm actually meeting you. You know, the news is so much better with you on it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Tuesdays with Tyler continues this hour, brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in that there promo code, Stephanie. Tuesdays is such a
happy
only
time.
One man now that understands. Yeah. That's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Was everybody
laughing? Hello, Charlie Pierce.
Boogity cheese.
You're jealous of a boogity cheese t-shirt.
Get your boogity cheese.
Two boogities and a cheese, please.
Hey, sweetie. So
nice to hear Chris LaVoy phoning it in from a shack on Catalina Island.
We're gonna make him a megahorn out of paper.
he's herding goats. Mm-hmm. So Charlie Pierce.
I wanna hear with a lonely goat. Marcus.
Marcus. Stop it! I've got a headache. Charlie, what do you make of the debt ceiling and the speeches last night and the Slavin?
Mr. Boehner, man, they're tiny and they're in Eric Cantor's pockets, but they're pure brass, aren't they?
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my Lord, I give up at this point. You're right.
Yep.
The president can't do anything. Nobody can do anything. These people are all apocalyptic yahoos waiting for the four horsemen to come and take them away.
Yeah.
I give up at this point. I mean, try the 14th Amendment and see what happens.
Well, you know, I was quoting a financial expert in Britain that just said, you know, the United States is being, you know, held hostage by a bunch of right-wing nutters.
Well, when you're expecting the rapture at any moment, it's hard to get motivated to balance the budget.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I was talking to a theologian pal of mine the other day, and he says that, you know, the apocalyptic thinking is an addiction. You just apply it to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you believe that things will be purified in the end times. You you believe that in every context.
It's like when the maid is coming, why bother doing the dishes?
Yeah, you know
exactly
what?
Right.
And Charlie,
except in this case, the maid is wearing a long black robe and carrying a scythe.
Yeah. And since we're in the midst of right wing world, come with us, won't you? Here it is in Fox World, how the debt crisis is playing out. Brian Kilmeade. Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends.
Our standing in the world economy now at stake.
Mm.
If we can't solve this debt disaster, what's taking so long?
Mm.
Is there a chance the president was never serious about a solution
in the first place.
Uh-huh. See? And now it's grounds for impeachment.
There's a chance, Brian, that your brain is made of chicken salad. This guy is without question the dumbest man on television.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There are guys calling in from their survivalist shacks on C-SPAN who are smarter than this guy.
Yeah. You know, maybe nothing Glenn Beck says surprises you, but I'm sure you've heard about this. Glenn Beck on the radio on the
Norway
shootings.
And as the thing started to unfold, and then there was a shooting at a political camp, which sounds a little like, you know, the Hitler Youth or whatever. I mean, who does a camp for kids that's all about politics?
Glenn Beck.
Disturbing.
Yeah, they sort of had it coming, see? Because it was, yeah.
Sure, because they're liberals.
It sort of sounds like the Hitler Youth if you happen to be a paranoid schizophrenic with a radio program.
But
as I recall, now correct me if I'm wrong, didn't his 9/12 movement put together a summer camp for Tea Party kids in Tampa a few years ago? That's what I thought.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you wrote a great piece about this, Charlie. But meanwhile, you know, of course, Peter King announced he'll continue his series of investigations focusing exclusively on Islamic terrorism and will not widen it to include other forms. There have been, by the way, almost twice as many terror plots from non-Muslims and Muslims in the U.S. since 9/11. In Europe, terror attacks by Muslims also made up on the minority of terrorism on the continent. Yeah. In fact, in 2009, only one in 294 terror attacks came from Muslims.
There were, I did a piece that's in Esquire this month about the bomb that didn't go off in Spokane.
That's what I'm referring to. It was great.
And you know, Dave Niebuhr, one of my heroes, who's been tracking this kind of nonsense for almost 25 years now, has put a map together, or an interactive map at crooksandliars.com that you can go to on just the right-wing political violence that's taken place roughly since Barack Obama became inevitable, which is like the summer of 2008. And it's astonishing. I mean, stuff you don't even remember. The guy in Pittsburgh who shot the cops because he thought Barack Obama had sent them to get his guns.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I remember Democrats wrote to Peter King in March 2011, if you wish to examine violent extremism, we ask that you do so by examining violence motivated by extremist beliefs in all its forms. And as you write in Esquire, since September 11th, we have finally honed our fear of the other. But the truth is, the overwhelming majority of our terrorism has always been homegrown, and it's times like these of anger and disaffection when we turn on ourselves and kill. And you were talking specifically at the Martin Luther King parade, where the bomb was planted.
Right. I mean, this was designed to be a mass casualty event. I mean, the bomb was situated on a bench that was surrounded on three sides by brick walls, the low brick walls, basically. So the blast would be focused outwards into the street, and it was a shrapnel bomb. It was meant to kill a lot of people. And the cop who I talked to, I spent a long time talking to the cop who disarmed it, had gone to, they have these they send you around the country and you do hazardous materials training and stuff like that. And the guy who had taught him about that was a guy who had been in Iraq. And the cop told me, look, what I was looking at was an IED. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Exactly the kind of thing you find in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's, that was, by the way, great pieces in Esquire.
Thank you.
I mean, it really is. We were saying in right-wing world, of course, they immediately said, this had to be Al-Qaeda, it had to be a Muslim. And then, obviously, when they were proven wrong, they're still trying to go, he's sort of Muslim-y. He's really, it's a jihad.
He learned it from Muslims, because Muslims, as you know, are the only people who've ever killed a lot of people at the same time.
Yeah, and twisted their religion to do so, yeah.
I mean, I just, you know.
So the IRA are really Muslims?
Yes, they are. That's right. They're all a bunch of jihadists up there.
All right, you've digested the worst of right-wing world, so I'll give you Bill O'Reilly for dessert, Charlie.
Binge drinking is big among so-called mature adults. I mean, many women who get pregnant are blasted out of their minds when they have sex. They're not going to use birth control anyway.
Just because your wife has to get drunk to get screw up the courage to stick it to the wall.
I don't know why people just don't stay sober and call their subordinates and talk dirty to them over the phone,
right?
While boogity boogity cheesing in the background. And
I'm going to venture and say I don't think Mrs. O'Reilly
settled the case out of court.
I don't think Mrs. O'Reilly has ever had sex with Bill without seeing three or four of them at once. God.
I have to get her wasted just to get her to come and hold my hand.
I'm going
to
give her some roofies and we'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Yeah. Things suck.
Yeah, I'll say. Zoinks.
What never gets old, that one.
Sure, yeah.
So it was about Sting, right? He didn't know who Sting was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing got set off, and he didn't know who Sting was.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So
a well-rounded person, our Bill.
Yeah, yeah. So, Charlie, what? I know we all give up, but what the hell? How is this going to play out? Jim Warden and I have been talking about the 14th Amendment and whether that's where we're going to go. You know?
I mean, that may wind, it seems to me to be the only solution because mm-hmm. one side isn't going to move. I mean, that's plain now after that speech last night.
Right.
I mean, he's thrown in his lot with the people who have his tiny brass ones in their pockets.
Yeah.
He's not going to budge now. And then, the president is now reduced to calling people and telling them to call their congressman and tell him to vote for the president's really crappy deal.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
basically, that's where we're at. That's mm-hmm. where we're at.
Yeah.
And just to get this thing off the table, at this point, I don't know that there's any other solution than to see if it works.
Yeah,
try this thing. The debt ceiling will go up probably pending a judgment on it. You may win, you may lose the Supreme Court, but if you're going to have a constitutional crisis, let's have one by the Constitution.
Right. Exactly.
Instead of inventing these devices like the Super Congress.
Yeah,
here comes Eric Cantor on a spider web swinging through the. We're going to have the Super Congress, and then we're going to have two votes, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to have a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, which everybody thinks is a terrible idea. And well, that's not going to pass anyway because you'll never get
right.
3/5 of the states for
it. Yeah, and they threw that in last minute. You're like, what?
Huh?
What?
Yeah. Like, I need nothing but this Patamol game and this amendment and this rocking chair.
I would hate to think what these guys would do if they didn't love the Constitution so much.
Yeah.
Super Congresses, amendments that have no chance of passing. I mean, do they think this thing is a bath map? I'm completely at sea on this one.
Well, as we all know, loving something and understanding it fully are not the same thing.
Anyone that's ever been in a relationship of any kind.
Say Obama does use the 14th Amendment and raise the debt ceiling. What's the Supreme Court going to do? Unraise it? After the fact?
I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess they could get an injunction, you know, and say you can't raise it.
I got to tell you something.
Pending a decision by the courts. But at that, you know, that having been said, I mean, you know, why not try it? You're not going to get anything from the other side.
Right.
What do you think? If he does this and then they try to go back and sue him afterwards for essentially saving the world economy, they are going to look like total. I mean, more like total
right.
idiots.
Right.
Than
I mean,
they
is
do
it
now.
Is it Charlie like ask you know forgiveness and not permission, or does the current makeup of the Supreme Court make this not doable?
Well, but it's going to take a while, basically. And in the meantime, unless they get some kind of injunction, the debt ceiling will be raised.
Yeah.
And you have a political advantage saying, look,
right.
I did everything I could.
I wonder if this is
American
end game all along. No, I mean, Carrie Reid is giving them everything they want.
Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't be clearer, Charlie.
Steve King is running around saying they'll impeach him if he tries.
Oh, I know.
And please, Mr. President, don't think they're kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
They'll try. I mean, I will guarantee you they'll try that.
Yeah,
they'll
well, I mean, sure. it's only the tenth reason they've tried to come up with for
right.
impeachment.
And then
you know?
They'll try him for saving a global economy.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I just don't see an alternative. They're not going to
yeah.
budge.
Yeah, they impeach Bill Clinton for getting a BJ, and meanwhile they're going to you know the entire world economy and
right.
and they're going to impeach him over that.
I mean, I almost think like he, of course I think he wants to wait till the last minute because you don't want to engage in the, you don't want in this kind of scorched earth policy. But if they don't come together by the deadline, he just goes ahead and raises the debt ceiling.
Right.
It takes forever for this to come in front of the Supreme Court. Although I guess in the election they were able to kind of get it expedited, but they won't in this particular
right.
case. And then he looks like he's the look. I did what I needed to do because I care about this country and the world economy. And these guys are obstructionists.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they look terrible.
Right.
I mean, I hope that's the way the politics of it plays out.
Right. Well, how else could it play out, though? What's the other scenario?
The president is a dictator. I mean, believe me, the American people elected these people.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't come down from heaven.
Well, as Aisha said, I mean, he's doing 11 points better than they are in the polling today.
I hope that holds.
But yeah. I have a very little faith in my fellow Americans right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But he may not have an alternative. This thing has to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is my understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this whole thing about if we don't do it, it won't matter that much. That's not what I'm hearing.
Yep.
You know, and this thing has to happen, and the only way it's going to happen is if he does that, because they're not, I mean, the indication that they threw in that balanced budget amendment again last night, They don't. They either want this to crash or they want him to crash. They don't care whether.
They're not serious. Crashes. They're not legitimately serious about getting this done.
Yeah. Oh, but Eric Cantor says it's serious. Yeah. I have a serious
exactly.
plan.
All right. Charlie Pierce, thanks for the happy, clappy thoughts. See you next week.
Great.
Great. We had the bald-headed prophet of doom and then Charlie Pierce. By the way, Ron in Reno writes, it seems Boner doesn't want to be contacted. If you try his congressional representative site, I get a bad request error message. If I try to send a message link at the bottom of his House Speaker site, it seems to have been disabled.
You know what that means?
Nothing happens.
Excuse me, the tavern.
They don't want
to
hear.
So the Boner is probably overwhelmed
problems.
With reasonable people wondering why he felt he had to denigrate his position as Speaker to lie, as he did about his bipartisan, quote-unquote, bill's passage. I finally called, but got to leave a message, not a real live Bonerade. All right.
Oof. Bonerade?
A Bonerade.
Me.
That's the people that work for him are Bonerades.
Right, sure. Okay. Yeah. Maybe Eric Cantor is diverting all of his...
You can also
find Boner AIDS on the internet.
47. He needs some serious Boner AIDS. 47 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and the latest on the Norway shootings as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What is the Stephanie Miller show? Oh my God, no way, really?
I know, right?
Way, right?
Way.
Lady Gaga's in our building right now.
FBFAO.
She's giving a concert at the cool music station.
TFU.
Yeah, whatever. And they say that none of us other talk geeks can go. We're Ice Tyler and I are busting in. They brought in your baby grand yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's fancy.
I was born this way. I'm going.
She's fancy.
I'm going. I got a badge. Look, I got a security badge.
You're
I'm going.
Armed guards
you know
waiting
what they
for
bring in early
sniper.
When I show up at a venue? They're like, Aisha's going to be here tomorrow. We brought her sugar-free Red Bull, but just one can because we don't have the budget for two.
Yeah, well, maybe Lady Gaga would be interested to know Aisha's sexy liberal show in August 20th in
Bam.
Detroit.
Bam.
It's coming. Yes, this is a way bigger name than you could ever hope to be ever. We can't say who it is, but it's coming to the sexy liberal show.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
No. Eddie Van Halen? That would be so awesome. Now that would freak me out. I used to have a picture of him in my wall.
Yeah, we had a really, entirely like text message conversation. Just like, oh my God.
OMG.
Guess he wants to come to the Detroit show.
So exciting. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be a huge show. Very big. Motor City,
and Lady Gaga's going bald anyway. Who cares if she lets us in?
What?
She's going bald from hair dye. She's taking an anti-baldness drug, reportedly.
Poor baby.
Rogaine? Because to reverse the damage from the... Sure, we'll say the dying of the face.
Yes,
of that.
The dying of the head.
There could be no other reasons for this.
Yes, and also the weight of the wigs is crushing her follicles.
It's crushing for even her follicle holes.
killing the life force that is her hair follicles.
You know what I wish she would do, Chris? Go to ovationhair.com and type in Stephanie in the box. Please. Maybe I'll go upstairs and tell her that in a moment. Before I'm shot by a sniper.
They specifically said no talk radio
no
people.
Talk geeks.
Isn't that mean? We're well. We're
you
behaved.
Know what? I'll probably get a poison dart in the neck.
we're like the Morlocks on the lower floors here.
Yeah.
I don't think our card even lets us up on the cool music floors, does it?
No.
We're like talk geeks down out.
You gotta sneak in the back way.
The rat holes, like that's
gotta
how you get
in. Got a parachute
in.
Coming through the roof.
I remember when Ryan Seacrest used to do his show here. Wasn't it like his parking space was sort of like right next to the elevator almost?
Yeah.
Just all you spread out because when Ryan gets here,
I think the whole parking garage was his parking space.
He parked wherever he wanted.
And I think he actually had someone to park for him, his Maserati or whatever it was.
No, he had like a different luxury car every day.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
I had one awkward elevator ride with him.
Sorry, am I in the wrong elevator?
Yeah,
sorry.
I did too, actually.
Okay.
Seemed like a nice guy.
Oh dear, Amy Winehouse autopsy inconclusive. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I'm gonna make.
I'm listening
guesses.
Closely to your diagnosis.
Yeah.
No, no, it's very sad. It's but it's like you said. It's just it's a. Here, by the way, there's a Charlie Sheen story next, and I have to say it's the same thing. When you go, you make jokes, and you go, how close is he to that? Because that's, you know, he apparently, this is how you know you might be at rock bottom. He is now negotiating to star on the Celebrity Big Brother in the UK for money for the, you know, presumably the hookers and the blow.
No. Well, the hookers and the blow, they're you'd expensive. Be surprised at how expensive.
Yeah, well, they're in your rider for the Sexy Liberals tour.
Yes, they are. And the thing is, there's a lot of wasted blow when you do it off of a hooker. It's not like, you know what I mean?
It's not a way.
It falls in the cracks and it gets absorbed. She rolls over. She wants a sandwich.
Exactly.
Wait until I tell you it's time to get up.
That is really wasteful in this economy. If you're doing your blow off a hooker still, that, you know what? It's just, it's laughing in the face of all the people.
Profligacy.
It is not an efficient way to do blow.
So when there's hookers involved, blow is a verb. So.
And so you kids heard Aunt Aisha and Aunt Steffi. Do not do your blow off hookers anymore, because it's just not.
Reuse your plastic bag.
You know what? There's no work ethic in that.
No. No. Blow off a hooker. That's 1980s style.
Yeah.
Now we do our
kids,
blow off,
come on.
Off of recyclable paper.
Let's have a little social friendly, conscience yeah. these days.
Be green. Okay. I'm green. I'm very green.
Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger has quietly been spoiling his estranged wife, a little late, in hopes of improving the divorce situation. He spends a lot of time reportedly shopping at Neiman Marcus, and he has expensive gifts, mostly designer accessories, delivered to her. Among the surprises was a diamond Cartier watch.
A case
and
of the hands
watch.
May be quite continental.
And I get to bang the housekeeper.
But diamonds are girls' best friends.
That seems
just
fair.
Ask the housekeeper and these kinds of things. Nine!
Seems fair. Nine.
Jim, the first Bond girl has died.
Oh.
Oh, Linda Christian.
No.
Yeah, she was the first Bond girl. I don't know. She was first. She's 87, which makes her considerably younger than Sean Connery. But, what? What? I just was trying to get you to do Sean Connery.
Yes.
Nah.
I would go to a funeral, but my... Yam shack got caught on the brambles again.
That's all I wanted.
Oh, my God.
All right. Final details before we go on the man accused in Norway. At least they lowered the death toll of 76 from 93, so it is, thank God, still horrible, but less than they had thought. They're now maintaining two cells of extremists collaborated with him.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. He had wanted to show up in some sort of uniform for his hearing, some kind of costume. The court rejected those requests. His lawyer told him there were no collaborators, that he alone wrote the manifesto. He said he believed the actions were atrocious, but in his head they were necessary. He wanted to change in society. From his perspective, he needed to force that through revolution. He wished to attack society and structure of society.
Whatever. Seriously, whatever.
Yeah, and then they were saying he wanted an open court proceeding so he could... continue his
so he could make it because he's got these delusions of grandeur, right?
Right.
I'm going to show, like, he's already said, I don't think I did anything wrong, you know, and
yeah,
I'm
he was saving Europe.
Today I'm going to be saving on the
European
culture. Today,
yes.
You can watch me on The Talk on CBS live at, I think, 11 o'clock. And also, listen to my brand new podcast, Girl on Guy with Aisha Tyler. It's at girlonguy.net.
Yay.
And come follow
me on sexyliberal.com.
Yay!
We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.